It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff, Stacy, and Ann are all here. We'll take a look at the YouTube Rewind, the Google search history of 2019. We'll talk about Jack's amazing new tweet. It's a thread, you know. And 3D houses being printed in Mexico. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 538, recorded Wednesday, December 11th, 2019, the third most hated video of all time. This Week in Google is brought to you by Worldwide Technology. Worldwide Technology's Advanced Technology Center is like no other testing and research lab, with more than $500 million of equipment. And the ATC is now virtual, so you can access it 24/7. To learn more and get insights into all it offers, go to wwt.com/twit. And by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. It's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/twig. And by Brave. Brave is the browser reimagined. Switch now to get unmatched speed and privacy and stop trackers from following you. Save battery life and earn rewards by opting into privacy-respecting ads. Brave is free and easy to switch to. Go to brave.com/twit and switch to Brave today. It's time for Twig, This Week in Google, the show that couples Google and the Googleverse and the Facebook and the Twitterverse and all of that verses. Verse 1, Stacy Higginbotham from stacyoniot.com. Hello, Stacy
dance. That was a Stacy dance. I like that.
So you got the head. You can do the head thing with the neck.
The head thing? Like the boop, boop, boop?
No.
You did it differently.
You were doing the sideways.
No, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Like an Egyptian. Nice.
I feel like a bobblehead. All right.
Stacy Bobblehead Higginbotham. Jeff Jarvis is here. He's also one of our regular heads. He is.
Can't do it.
Blogs at bugmachine.com. And, of course, teaches journalism to a bunch of very lucky kids at the Townite Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism at the City University of New York. Also in studio with me, as always, Ant Pruitt from our very own Twit Network. What's your shirt say?
Apparently it says, I'm just going to nod and act like I'm listening.
Do you pick these intentionally, or is it just whatever is in the top of the laundry basket?
Usually whatever's clean, whatever's going to keep me warm.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's like an editorial comment on the show.
Pretty much.
It's okay.
It's a subtweet as a t-shirt.
Subtweeting. It's on this show I learned what subtweeting is. Google's year in search is out. Okay, we got two things. We got Google's YouTube Rewind. And we got the year in search.
I promise it's better this year.
It's not better. It's worse. You can't make anybody happy. This time, though.
It wasn't as cheesy.
Yeah, this time it's not. So normally what the Rewind is a chance, I think, to kiss up to the big name creators and keep them happy.
Keep them happy.
So they tell a story and they have cameos from all the big name creators in it.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's was the most hated YouTube video of all time.
They
decided, oh, we blew it. In fact, here they admit we blew it. This is the beginning of the YouTube Rewind.
K-pop!
There's Casey Neistat.
That is so awkward to watch.
YouTube Rewind 2018. The most disliked video in the history of YouTube.
16 million thumbs down. It says in 2018 we made something you didn't like, so let's see what you did like in 2019. And so now it's all, and I'll turn off the sound because we don't need to hear it, but it's all clips. It's like top 10 clips. No storyline or anything. Well, and it's also designed to make me feel terrible because this is the top 5 videos. The views in one year, these are the videos that got the most views. Number 10, 1.9 billion views.
Billion views. It's insane.
Number 7, 2.2 billion, Mr. Beast. Dude Perfect, 2.3 billion views. He apparently throws things into things perfectly. Dave Dobrik, I don't know, Jelly, 2.5 billion.
But that's the thing.
Pencilmation, 2.9. At least there's animation here. Felipe Neto, 2.8 billion. The number one, of course, PewDiePie.
Of course.
4 billion views.
Of course.
He's going to be billion. Damn president before we watch out.
Well, one of the reasons I think there were so many hates on last year was he wasn't in it at all.
That's because he was outed as like a disrespectful neo-Nazi little kid.
Well, and yeah, there's lots of debates over whether he's just being a comedian and really what he's up to. But and so I won't assume he's really a neo-Nazi. But anyway, YouTube clearly decided this is a political hot potato. So we're just going to do the numbers, basically.
Well, it totally worked, too. This year, they're only the third most disliked video of all time.
I forgot to show that. But it's like it's still millions of thumbs down. There's nothing they could have done that would have won that one.
I will say that I got home from Petaluma, and I guess this had just come out, and my daughter, who is 13 now, could talk about with me.
Really?
And yeah, she was like, oh, they put out the year in review, and my husband was like, I do not even care. I could see his body language. He did not say this. But, you know, I am like, oh, I bet we're going to talk about this on Twig. I should totally listen.
I got to watch.
I'm like, well, what happened?
So what did she say?
Explained the last year's drama, and then she's like, but everyone this year is still so against it. I was like, well, what'd you think? She's like, I don't know. I don't really care about this.
See?
Oh, that's interesting. So she wasn't waiting because she couldn't wait to see it.
I didn't even get through it.
She just wanted to see how many people hated it.
Yeah, she was there only for the drama, basically.
So it came out December 5th, 6 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, as we were recording, 2.8 million thumbs up, 7.1 million thumbs down.
Maybe maybe the viewers are just trolling YouTube.
I don't know.
Maybe that?
Yep.
I don't know.
Last year, I remember the Hardheads brought it up to me with this whole rewind thing and said,
children.
You should go watch it. Yes,
your
children. And they were like, you should go watch it. But this year, I haven't heard a thing from either one of them. Not one of them.
It does have 58.5 million views. So people are watching it.
There was a whole thing on Reddit about how everyone should wait 24 hours to watch it just to troll YouTube.
Just like have a zero count. That would be very funny, but you can't do that. I think that in future years, these rewinds will actually be a historic document. They'll be of great interest to historians. Not like next year. Not
this is going to be
I'm
a
talking
long
2100.
If back when people have attention spans again,
saving
they,
these.
If you watched the Oscars from like 50 years ago, none of those movies. No
that's
one knows
a good
any
point.
Of those movies.
That's a good point. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Now, Google does their annual search trends, and that's gotten less and less interesting because they break it up in so many different ways now. So this is the year in search 2019. I guess I'll play the video. I don't know what the video. Throughout history, in times of uncertainty.
Thank you so much.
Is your audio in this? The world looks for heroes.
There's audio, but it's just going to get us taken down. It's just a like dramatic score. Just
okay,
imagine
this is music.
Dramatic sweeping
music.
Sweeping music.
And you got to really go, you got to pause it because they're going to go through a bunch of pictures of famous people, Dylan and Parton and Stephen Hawking, the Dalai Lama. In 2019, searches for heroes soared.
There's Jarvis.
There's Jarvis. These are superheroes in real life as well as in movies. These are real life superheroes. The
people didn't
guy
really search for real life superheroes, though. That's it.
No.
They didn't search for people with superpowers.
Right.
That's what fakes this up.
Right. These look like these are search terms. Nobody searches for unsung heroes.
No, they're not searching for unsung.
Unhung heroes, maybe, but not unlikely.
Well, okay, so Google is making an editorial decision here, just like any editorial. I mean, they're using their data to tell a story.
But normally this is just the numbers, man. And then when you go to the numbers, should we do global or should we do it by country? Let's do global. The number one search in 2019 was, and this is why they changed it in the video, India versus South Africa. Is that... It's probably cricket, I would guess.
Mm.
Number two, Cameron Boyce.
She died.
Okay. Who is she?
I don't know. She died.
I'm glad I don't know. I didn't. You're not the only one who doesn't
Copa know America. I think that's the America's Cup, not the Child Online Protection and Privacy Act.
Yeah, I was going to say, spelled differently,
two,
right?
Two yeah. weeks.
Bangladesh versus India.
Also cricket.
Is it cricket as well? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can click on it to see more about it if you're fascinated. Oh, iPhone bored. 11, number 5. How about news? Copa America, Notre Dame, that burned this year.
Mm-hmm. That was big news.
That was I was in tears watching that. Cricket, again, Hurricane Dorian, rugby. People, Antonio Brown, football player. Mm-hmm. Neymar, soccer player. Mm-hmm. James Charles, football?
YouTube.
YouTube. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Justice Smollett and Kevin Hart.
Really?
Those are controversial.
Ah. And then...
Ooh, yeah, they were.
They were controversial. 4 and 5.
Kevin Hart, because of the Academy Awards last year, he voluntarily stepped down as
Not
host.
Only that, but also his car accident.
He had a car accident?
Mm-hmm, was controversial, mm-hmm. too.
Oh, did he cause it?
I believe it was more about leaving the scene.
Oh, okay.
The car was all souped up and shouldn't have been souped up and totally not safe for driving, but they drove it anyway.
And Jussie Smollett, what's that? R. Kelly.
That's an Empire actor.
No, yeah, not R. Kelly.
Not R. Kelly.
Not R. Kelly.
quote-unquote.
Okay. So in the actor category, it's Smollett, Hart, Joaquin Phoenix, Keanu Reeves, Lori Loughlin.
All of those make sense.
Yeah, Lori Loughlin, of course, in the news because of bribing to get her kid into college.
Right.
Athletes.
Wait, hold on just a second there. Joaquin Phoenix, what was the news there?
He was Joker.
That's the Joker. He was the Joker.
Joker and Keanu Reeves.
He's just
his
awesome.
Comeback. His comeback.
His big comeback. He's just awesome.
He
right, so three out of the five.
He's breathtaking.
Karsten said that, not me.
He was on stage at the Microsoft event. Mm-hmm. And walked on stage.
For like 2 seconds.
And people swooned. And apparently he's back, baby. It's also John Wick 3, I guess, mm-hmm. right?
John Wick. All he did I'm a little cameo in that adorable Netflix rom-com. What was it? With Ali Wong. It was great.
Okay. You know what?
Be my maybe.
I think one of the reasons people like him is because it looks like he kind of can laugh at himself now.
Right.
Yeah. He is also my personal role model for our CES event, Ant and Leo's excellent CES adventure. But we haven't decided who is playing the role of Keanu Reeves.
No.
I think it's me. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk in and go, whoa.
Yeah, you go ahead and be that guy.
Whoa. Athletes, Antonio Brown, Neymar, Bruce Hopper, David Ortiz, Alex Morgan. This is global, which is interesting to see like a baseball player in there. Movies, Avenger Endgame, Joker, Captain Marvel, Toy Story 4, Aquaman. Do we learn anything from this?
No.
Bored. Not really. It's boring. That's why they made the video.
We didn't learn anything, but
wait,
maybe...
Go back to the songs. What was it?
I have songs. Old Town Road.
Oh, okay.
Love
yeah.
that song. I don't know Seven Rings. Obviously,
yes,
I'm
do.
Not
it's,
hipping with it.
I don't know any of those songs.
It's the Ariana Grande song that was just playing.
Okay.
No idea.
Don't get us. Take
you
it off.
You can't get taken down for going hope.
I'm tone deaf, too, so it's not like I'm even close to where
Shallow,
she is.
Which, that was the Gaga song that she did in the movie. Senorita, Cabello, and Shawn Mendes. And Memories. Memories?
From Cats.
What?
Because of the...
Because Cats is scary.
Cats is back, baby.
Terrifying.
What? No, it's
is
a Maroon 5.
Is it because
5.
Of the trailer?
No. It's
the
a
Cats
Maroon,
trailer?
No, it's a Maroon 5 song.
Oh, different memories. Sorry.
Carson's,
oh,
fine. Okay, Carson's clearly not.
Carson
wait, no, that was
part.
Memory.
Like that.
Memory. All alone
in the moonlight.
Oh, my gosh. I think I hear dogs howling.
TV shows, Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, Chernobyl, When They See Us, and The Umbrella Academy. So what this shows you not is what the most popular TV show is necessarily, but the most some of the more controversial shows, like When They See Us was controversial because it was about Central Park Five, and I think an interest, Umbrella Academy, that you know, that's funny because that was getting a lot of press, and then I guess people watched it.
I liked that show.
Of course you did. It's your kind of show.
It is my kind of show.
You told me to watch it. I watched about 5 minutes, and I said, I can't, I won't.
You asked if anybody cares. Do you not think advertisers would care about this data and figure out some forecasts and stuff for 2020?
No. I don't think it's forecastable. It's everything is so past.
It's all news, right?
And too mass, too too general. Mass is dead. That's what's wrong with this list. This is mass. Nobody cares about mass.
This Google used to do Zeitgeist, which I thought was great. Do they still do that?
Yeah. No.
So this was replaced Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist was the state of the world at the end of the year. And I think they attempted to be data scientists a little bit more and kind of extract interesting trends and stuff. Here, they're just going, here.
Yeah, this is just a list. I'd like to see a little more because I like data. I don't know why I like data, but I like data.
Well, Google likes data too, but I think that they've been bit by data. And they really don't want to look like they're editorializing in any way these days, right?
Right.
Right.
In fact, when, when we started playing the video, thank you. A little late on that.
Sorry.
If you want to be in the club, you got to jump right on this.
When you're it's the latency with, here.
Yeah, well, that's
you got to agree with Leo very quickly for his ego.
They call me the little rocket man of podcasting. I'm sad to see this. We were talking about, you know, we did, Stacey was here for our Twit year-end show, which will be on December 22nd. We talked a little bit about the decade. This was the decade of Google Glass. We talked a little bit about it. I guess we could say the decade ends with the end of Google Glass. They are one more update to the Glass Explorer edition.
Oh, gee. Let me get it out and get it updated before it is too late. Because I use it so frequently, so worth it was it to get it.
You are vulnerable to security threats.
Stacey, wasn't it cool that somebody on our team ran in the studio with the glass we bought and brought it
to me? I was impressed at the number of devices from this decade that just happened to be laying around your studio.
Oh, yeah, we got them all, babe. Oh, yeah,
they're all in the host office.
Yeah, paid for every darn one of them, too. So, Glass Explorer Edition users, here's a little heads up. You'll need to manually install the final update. Here's how you do that. You'll download a signed image file, unzip some folders, run a bunch of ADB commands. Installed ADB on Windows, right? Once you've updated Glass, you'll still be able to pair the device to your phone and take photos, shoot videos, or use any side-loaded apps. However, mirror apps, Gmail, YouTube, and Hangouts, will cease to function. Bye-bye, Glass.
So can I get a refund? I actually think this is really nice. They're saying that we're not supporting this.
Right.
Here's exactly what you need to do. Here's exactly what you can expect to happen, which a lot of companies are like, it's going to just stop working eventually. Right. Or like what they do with Nest. They're like, if you don't update, you just won't get some features.
Right. So but this here is they're the, like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to repeat myself and say, this is good, and they're saying exactly what will happen.
What people do is say what they're going to say, and then they say it, and then they tell you what they said.
Officially wiping their hands of it. We're done.
Exactly.
Well, and I should point out, that's the Explorer Edition, which was the one that we bought.
Mm-hmm.
And the Enterprise Edition, too, is still around. In fact, they're
aren't they still doing some type of development with it?
Yeah,
I thought so.
This is a business product for, you know, factory floors and stuff like that. So that's not dead. I don't think Glass has much of a future.
No, really? What a
great
futurist Leo is. You know, futurists.
Okay,
there's Leo.
On Twit on Sunday, we had a real futurist, Amy Webb, and we were talking about Magic Leap. Maybe you saw that article in the information about how Magic Leap hasn't sold more than a few thousand. I think they said 6,000 of their developer.
I didn't even know they were on the market.
They had a developer edition, much like Glass. And they thought they were
not doing that again.
Yeah, they thought that, we're going to sell. They said at one point 1 million, but they finally got a little more realistic and said 100,000. And they were a little angry at this article in the information by Alex Heath, who said, dented reality, Magic Leap sees slow sales, steep losses. He says they're losing $40 million a month. The funny thing is yesterday, so we were talking about it. And by the way, I should point out, Amy Webb said, I have been to the Florida facility. I've used the Beast, the big one, that they showed people like Stephen Levy and Amy. And she said, it's amazing. So this is what they were selling was I tried the Magic Leap one and it's just kind of like a HoloLens a little bit. I mean, it's not that great. But she said that's not what their technology is. She says sometimes you got to invest a lot of money and do blue sky research and maybe there is no way to bring it to market. And that doesn't mean it's not valuable or it's not going to change the world. It just means it's not ready yet. That seems reasonable.
Yeah. And it sort of gives you a roadmap for further development, right?
Yeah. So I won't ding them too hard. Apparently, they were very unhappy with the information's piece to the point, according to the information, that they went to an all-hands meeting and said that Alex Heath was a hack. Actually, no, they called him worse, an a-hole. And the information's reporting is littered with inaccuracies and misleading statements. Erroneously portrays Magic Leap's operations and internal plans and overall strategy. And at the all-hands meeting, they said it was clickbait and a bunch of BS. People were looking for the next Theranos or WeWork.
All right.
And that may not be, you know what, that may not be unreasonable. I mean, maybe they are losing money hand over fist. And maybe, you know, this is blue sky. Sometimes it's, you know, we're years off. So according to the article, throughout 2018, the company burned $40 to $50 million a month.
Oof.
But what about potential deals with the likes of Microsoft and
Well, you know the big investors are. I didn't know this, and I found this out.
I was just wondering that.
Yeah. Well,
Google.
In fact, they had a seat on the board, and Sundar Pichai quietly left the board some time ago. Sundar was on the board of directors. Google's longtime head of mergers, Don Harrison, was a board observer. But Sundar and Paul Jacobs, the former executive chairman of Qualcomm, quietly stepped off as director and observer in 2018. Pichai was replaced by Jennifer Fitzpatrick, a Google senior vice president. But investors include, and it's an interesting list, Saudi Arabia. It's the sovereign fund, right? Also, Mark Andreessen's Andreessen Horowitz. And then who was the lead? I forgot. Looking through it. Google, Alibaba, China, Saudi Arabia, and Andreessen Horowitz. They raised $2.6 billion. So while I'm a believer in augmented reality, I have to say it has not lived up with Glass or with Magic Leap to its promise.
Still, but does it still just take time?
Maybe it's just blue
because
sky,
people
right.
First
it's
we still
like
need
self-driving
to get people,
cars.
We still got
it's hard to augment reality.
It's hard.
Beyond yeah. that, you still have to get people to even believe in it first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know.
You gotta demonstrate it in a way that people can see.
All right. And again, the closest thing we have to that is Pokemon Go, isn't it?
One of the reasons they
are. No, it's the Hogwarts one.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah, that's the first way of getting people to at least see the potential of it. You know,
I think it's an important point. I mean, you know, that's what cardboard did for VR for
right.
its short life of,
right.
of fandom. Right. And plus AR on the phone, you know, we want to do Pokemon Go. You want to do stuff. It's OK. You can do it. But
and it's not even anything that new.
It doesn't make you say, oh, wow, I want this in front of me.
So I think that the precursor to AR and the reason people like me are so excited about AR is science fiction. That's
yeah.
that's really, and this not to say that doesn't drive a lot of technology innovation. A lot of, I think what Silicon Valley does is because they read it in a book when they were 18 or 17 right. or 16.
To like make this happen.
Yeah, I want awesome. Those flying cars. That. I want those self-driving cars. And I think that that's, you know, augmented reality has a long storied history in science fiction. And I think that's all you're seeing. And the problem is when it gets down to doing it, or as you say, Jeff, is self-driving car, it's not as easy as it sounds. Not as easy as it looked.
Yeah,
I don't
really,
mind
remember how we were supposed to have self-driving cars by the time we were, by next year? I'm sad about that.
We were supposed to have flying cars by the time
flying
I was a,
cars.
An adult.
Okay, well, that's just crazy talk.
Well, there are.
We were supposed to have moon hotels next
oh,
year.
Yeah, yeah. We were 2010, the year we make contact or whatever.
2020.
We do have flying cars, though, right? The quadcopter car.
You go take a ride in that. Actually, if you think about it, flying cars make no sense until you have autonomy. Because
right.
no human can safely fly cars.
Right. Totally agree.
So yeah. once we have autonomy, then you can have autonomous flying cars. So let's get autonomy done. But that's harder to do, I think, even.
Well, but
you're
but,
right. I mean, didn't Elon say we would have it this year?
The thing about it is you could, because it's an empty space, you could build it from scratch as opposed to cars, which you're trying to retrofit everything and figure out how to work around everything.
Right.
In the air, you could come up with a standard structure.
Or argue that. About or argue about it.
Yeah.
Which is more likely to happen.
Well, Twitter, may I go there?
Please.
Is trying to set a standard, right, for a distributed Twitter, which is really fascinating.
This,
so there's going to be a lot of argument about this.
This tweet, this morning's tweet from Jack, Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah.
This morning, Dorsey tweeted, Twitter is funding a small independent team of up to 5 open source architects, engineers, and designers.
It's very small.
To do, yeah, but it's not too small.
No.
To open, develop an open and decentralized standard for social media. The goal is ultimately for Twitter to be a client of this standard.
And then, the rationale is fascinating because he talks about how what we really do is add value with algorithms. So we want to do it with a larger pool. You want to be the Google of social.
And we've been talking, we've been supporting, we've been saying there need it needs to be decentralized. No company should have the responsibility that Facebook or Twitter has.
Though watch out, I mean, like, I'm going to predict right now, if this ever happens, and that's, you know, who knows, then there will be 1,000 social networks with a lot of crap on it, none of it controllable. So all the effort now to try to actually centralize things and regulate the big guys because they're convenient to regulate because they're big, watch out. Every effort to control will be boom.
Explain the emoji at the end of his tweet. It's a thread. Spool of thread.
Thread.
It's a thread. This is what we call thread.
What follows is a thread. No.
It's a thread.
Yeah.
Is that what the kids are doing now,
Leo,
when they start a thread?
Yeah, Leo, if you hadn't left Twitter, you'd know these things.
Holy moly.
Really? You put a thread emoji?
Yes. I use the thread emoji all the time.
Yep.
See, what? And look up there, it says thread.
Also notice Jack's world emojis. He's citizen of the world in all the three hemispheres.
I like it that he found all three of those emojis. That's kind of cool. By the way, Jack follows me. So hi,
time.
Jack. Twitter was so open early on that many saw its potential to be a decentralized internet standard. I think that's I agree with that. I think we did. In fact, I even called it internet dial tone, like SMTP, for a variety of reasons, all reasonable at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. We took a different path and increasingly centralized Twitter, but a lot's changed over the years. Well, Jack, yeah, you by centralized it by killing all the third-party developers.
Anyway, yeah. But he's kind of admitting that.
He's admitting it.
But he admitted that way back when he broke the third-party developer network. I mean, he admitted that that was kind of a bad idea and they wanted to go forward, but he realized it was kind of probably too broken, and now look what he's doing.
Oh, okay. First, we're facing entirely new challenges centralized solutions are struggling to meet. For instance, centralized enforcement of global policy to address abuse. Yeah. Yeah. This is, in a way, this is him saying, I can't, we can't.
Right.
I'm past the buck.
And that's what he did with political ads, in essence, is...
I don't think it's wrong for a person to be like, this is bigger than my company. This is bigger than me. I'm throwing it open to the world.
I think it's admirable.
I think it's great.
If he's sincere, it's admirable. Second, the value of social media is shifting away from content hosting silos and removal and toward recommendation algorithms directing one's attention.
Is the key.
You think that's really the key. That's the value. When I ask people like you why you like Twitter, that's what you say. It's a way of directing my attention towards something important.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It does.
Unfortunately,
all the time.
These algorithms are typically proprietary and one can't choose or build alternatives yet. This, if Jack is sincere here, and I think he is, this is really quite impressive.
Yes.
Third.
And I want you to keep going. Yes.
Third, existing. This is his manifesto. You know, this is what they call, the kids call a thread.
Right.
Third,
but we
they've
of the oldest generation.
Now.
There's an emoji too. Look at this. It's a spool of thread. Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
This is your own damn fault, old fart. Because you're leaving all this stuff and bragging about I'm not on Twitter and I'm not on Facebook and I'm not on planet Earth.
Oh gosh, I don't know the secret handshake for threads. Third, existing social media incentives frequently lead to attention being... By the way, you can tell it's a thread because when you're looking at a thread, it will say, click to read the thread. So it's not that hard. You don't need a special emoji.
Yeah, well, no, you do, because sometimes the thread is just a correction or something. In this case, it's a purposeful thread, and he's letting you know that.
I'm a moron. Third, existing social... Please don't agree with me so fast. Third, existing social media incentives frequently lead to attention being focused on content and conversation that sparks controversy and outrage. Sometimes I would even say the algorithm is all about sparking outrage rather than conversation. That's my daughter who always calls me on the show. Rather than conversation, which informs and promotes health.
That's going to be
a challenging one. No, I'm not going to answer the phone. Finally, new technologies have emerged to make a decentralized approach more viable. Ah, that's interesting. We've tried this. I mean, that's what StatusNet was and GNU Social and AppNet and Pounce. And we've been trying for this for a while. Blockchain. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Blockchain points to a series.
I'll put my $5 in the jar.
Uh-oh. A series of decentralized solutions for open and durable hosting, governance, and even monetization. Much work to be done, but the fundamentals are there. Some of these issues were emphasized by Stephen Wolfram in a blog post following his Senate hearing entitled Optimizing for Engagement. Boy, if Wolfram could solve this, anybody could. Understanding the use of persuasive technology on Internet platforms. Did he talk about this when he was on Triangulation, Karsten?
No, he did not.
Oh, that's too bad, because that's a... I would love to know what he thinks about all that. That's interesting.
You can read his 8 million word blog post.
Yeah, if I would understand
it. Smart man needs an editor.
Love it. He also
she says it with a straight face too.
Have you read?
It's true. He's brilliant.
Stacey, yeah. You just need an algorithm.
Oh, indeed.
He also quotes Mike Masnick, which is pretty awesome.
Which is cool.
His article.
They keep going because I want you to see. So Dave Weiner has been screaming for this for a long time.
Oh yeah, I was.
He responded to Jack.
Yeah.
See if you can interpret his tweet because I didn't get it.
Okay, I'm going to have to scroll. Oh, Evan Prodromo, the creator of StatusNet, says, hire me, because Evan's been doing this forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
There's Dave.
Dave Weiner, I'd like to see Twitter do this in a different way. You already have the bugs and scaling issues solved for a global notification network. Let's add a few APIs and create a new universe. I think he's right. It'll happen a lot faster.
Basically, open Twitter.
You don't have to open source it, but you have to. But it would be great if you published an API.
There are a lot of people who are legitimately saying, "Hey, just open up the API, buddy."
Right.
So this is kind of like, let me have my business model that I've established and not have to rethink that, but have this tiny, small team, you know,
and
work
this,
on this.
Ladies and gentlemen, sorry, Stacey.
Go ahead.
This is why I think we have not gotten the thing that we all said we wanted, and that Jack even told me that they were working on, is the correction button. Because once things are out there in the ether, you can't go back and get them back and do something to them.
Mm. I think not having a correction button can be defended. I think that's a reasonable defense of that.
I think as long as there's a history of what you do to it, I think it encourages corrections, which would be a wonderful thing in this world.
You can correct by a subsequent tweet.
It doesn't work very well.
You can delete and then correct.
That's what I hate too. That's you worse. Take away the record. Bloggers, we hated that idea.
I do it.
Well, you have to if you know.
You do.
Do something illiterate.
With whatever this effort is, if it were to go through, I don't particularly see it fixing what he says. Third, existing social media incentives frequently lead to attention being focused on content in conversation that sparks controversy and outrage.
It's a business model question, right?
That's just society. That's just people, regardless of whatever the platform is.
Well, yep. And if you don't, then you get Mastodon, which is so boring. Where's my outrage? I need my cup of outrage this morning. I don't know. I mean, you might have pointed out the hypocrisy of all of us by saying, no, we use Twitter as a signal for what's important. Pointing our attentions in the right direction is what we're really doing. Is what's the latest outrage?
So do me a favor. Keep going in Jack's thread, because he also says, why is this good for Twitter? It will allow us to access and contribute to a much larger corpus of public conversation, focus our efforts on building open recommendation algorithms, which promote healthy conversation, and will force us to be far more innovative than in the past. But it would also be possible that you can, if it's an open world, you can build the anti-Jack. You can build the, I'm going to find every bit of outrage in the world and clom it all together, right? I mean, it's just open.
Yeah, you could.
I like this.
You could have Breitbart Twitter.
Yeah, you
can. But you could also have MSNBC Twitter, and you could have.
I don't want to sound so much like a simpleton or anything, but would this limit me from putting in mute words such as impeachment and stuff like that?
No, because, of course, you know, the API.
Because that's what happens when I open up Twitter. I'm fed all kinds of things that I have no interest in. Mr. Jarvis said, hey, it works for him. Whatever it pops up is the things that he's interested in. I don't see that anymore.
I think all of us in self-defense have developed various behaviors to protect us from the Twitter outrage machine. Because you have to. And there are certainly are ways to do this, but presumably an open standard might have more ways to do that or have a variety of ways. Or, you know, I mean, one of the things, honestly, I guess a legitimate question is how is this different than, say, Mastodon, which is a federated open source Twitter clone?
The idea would be that maybe you could bring it, maybe it's a little bit more professional. Maybe you don't have to all be on the same server.
No, you don't. That's what the beauty of Mastodon.
I thought you always had to be on the same server. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Yeah, right, Stacey, you're thinking of the other one.
The entire point of Mastodon is that you can create many, many different Mastodon servers, and it's federated. And if you wish, you could follow somebody on another server. They can follow you on another server. So your they call them toots.
Okay.
Your toot can go to different Mastodon servers. Mastodon's great, but what Mastodon has everything you would want in this kind of tool, except the network effect, except the massive users.
And this Twitter.
And this is the problem you're going to face with this open and decentralized standard. I think Dave Weiner's right. If you just make an API, but then Twitter loses completely loses control of its own
control.
Content.
Yeah,
and so. What Jack? I think Jack's thought.
Well,
about this
okay, but hold on there. So let's play with that for a second. So then you go to the WordPress model, right? Which is the WordPress. The code base is open source. WordPress is the first company to build on top of it. Others can build too, but that gets them, you know, a third of the web. Twitter could shift to that model where it makes its code base basically open source, but then it builds that value add on top, which is what he's saying. Okay, there's all this chatter out there. Including this, you know, Twitter old, we're gonna build value on top of that.
Well, but WordPress, a lot of the value from WordPress comes from there's the WordPress hosting business, and there's also the people who build on WordPress businesses for like various
plugins.
Thank you. I was like, what is the word for those things?
Well, Stacey, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes. So the code. So you benefit from the open source contributions to the code base, right? But you can build your proprietary thing on top, which is exactly what WordPress did.
So then the question is, benefit
WordPress? Sorry.
Would I be willing to buy TweetDeck? What is the revenue share between Twitter and like the new version of TweetDeck that they have access to?
And this could be a whole different model. You subscribe to Twitter's smart person recommendation engine. And Twitter goes to some effort to find experts. Remember Samir Arora? He's working on a really fascinating thing that starts building expert networks. There's very potential there. And he hasn't really talked about it too much openly. And Jack's talked about this. When I met with Jack last time, he talked about trying to get to experts. So he's been thinking about this. So I subscribe to the Media Wonk network, and Twitter has to go to some effort to vet people and do other things. They add value to it. What is that definition of value add? Leo sponsors the Podcast Geniuses network. And you can get that. And so it's not just everybody. Then it becomes, what's the bad of this side? The bad is, does Black Lives Matter happen in that world? Do things bubble up in a way that virality is always presented as bad?
Yeah, that's not the bad.
Virality,
right, that's not the bad thing. Black Lives Matter does happen. What doesn't necessarily happen is, as you say, it doesn't bubble up.
The bubble up effect.
Nobody sees it.
But it might, depending. Well, if you subscribe to social activists or whatever causes.
Well, then you'll
see
it.
Then you should start seeing it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe that leads to a place where journalists become useful again.
Yeah, but the point of yes, Stacey, that's right. But the but Living While Black, the hashtag, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have seen it. The fact that what was presented to me through this network was where the value really was. As I said, oh crap, that happens.
Is it trending that presents those to you? Is that how you learn about it?
No, it's because a friend of a friend of a friend sees it, and eventually it gets to me.
Well, that could happen, right. I think, on
a
decentralized network. That's not
so, yeah. Stacey, as a B2B person in your business, mm-hmm. could you imagine a high-value-add business social network?
Like LinkedIn? Sorry. On Twitter? I guess that's what I already have, so sure. I can't imagine. I mean, I follow people who are in my industry, so I don't follow, like, my friends.
I guess my basic issue with this is it feels like Jack has jumped on a bandwagon that I've been riding for decades, almost as long as Twitter's been around. And we've seen every one of these decentralized solutions kind of not fail. Failing is a strong word, but kind of peter
fizzle.
Out.
Fizzle. They don't get the momentum.
And I join them all. There's a new one I want to join I read about in this thread called Scuttlebutt. I want to try that one as well. But another decentralized social platform, you know. But I feel like what happens is because everybody's on Twitter and Facebook, that's where people go. That's where you go. They've got the critical mass. Is it?
There's something it seems like there's always something around the corner trying to be the next Twitter or the next Facebook, but nothing is proven to.
We always use the canonical example of Facebook taking over from MySpace and saying, mm-hmm. "Well, let's see, it could happen then." But I think these guys have gotten so big and they've reached so much of the potential audience at this point that it's virtually impossible at this point for somebody to come along and say, "Oh, we're going to beat Facebook at its own game, or we're going to beat Twitter at its own game."
What about something like Twitch or Discord, which do have they're making their way out of the gaming arena? I mean, is that might be where we're seeing the next Facebook and Twitters and what next wave of social media happen?
Because that's what's going to. I don't think it'll be a duplicate platform. I think it will be a different and a unique way. I mean, I've even said maybe Fortnite is the next social network. It certainly is for a certain group of people. So it won't look like Twitter or Facebook. It'll look like something different.
This is interesting. If you go to Fred Wilson's Twitter feed, who was a board member of Twitter for quite a while, he's very pleased at what Jack is doing. He wrote about his feelings on this 3.5 years ago. The idea of turning Twitter into a protocol and allowing an entire ecosystem of applications to flourish on top of it is breathtaking in its ambition and importance for all the reasons Jack outlines in his tweets for.
So he's and one of the things that's
cool.
And
then
cool
Biz
about,
pops in.
Oh, Biz is in
I
there.
Didn't see that.
Oh, he says thanks, Fred.
He's speaking first person plural. We won't control it. It will be free, open protocol like SMTP. Huh. Mm. Dave Weiner, nice to hear from you, Biz. I've been hitting a different wall with Twitter. I want to cross post, and I can't because there is so little overlap between what services are willing to accept. This is also interop, which is a more immediate opportunity.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave, says Biz. It's been a long time.
Oh,
it's like all
God.
The old gangs coming together.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's time for BloggerCon.
I'm gonna join the thread and said, I had pizza for lunch.
Do it.
just to really bring it back to the good old days. Interesting. So I'll watch with interest. I applaud this. I think Jack's thought about it and sees he's honestly, it feels a little bit like Jack's looking for a way out, just like Larry and Sergey looked for a way out last week.
Gracefully.
Yeah, because it's getting ugly, and I don't have high hopes for it because I feel like we've seen this before. And it never seems to make a difference. And honestly, besides us, are people looking for what's the next Twitter or the next Facebook?
I don't think people are looking.
No, of course not. Why would they?
You find things that are more interesting or serve your needs. And sometimes you don't even drop the other ones.
Right.
Look at TikTok. TikTok. Nobody was really looking for it. People were still checking it out, but they're not leaving everything else.
So I had a long conversation with Alex Lindsay at our Christmas party. Alex is convinced TikTok is the next big thing, bigger than Facebook, bigger than Twitter. It's going to be huge. And I spent some time with it because I wanted to honor his opinion.
Right.
And it is my considered conclusion that it will be it's another flash in the pan, will be gone in a year or two. It is not going anywhere.
What's interesting is the first effort for a Chinese company to leave China. Wow, there's a guy flying on a broom on TikTok.
I hear the Harry Potter theme. That guarantees a takedown. I erased it because it is such an assault on your sensibilities and it's for people. You know, I know why Alex loves it, because he's short attention span. He loves it's quick, it's fast, it's scopey.
I have no problem with that. That's what Instagram stories can be too.
It's worse than Instagram stories. It's just quick dopey hits, and it's fine. It's rough. It's entertaining, roughly entertaining.
Well, that's what social. I mean, social networks are entertainment.
Yep,
it's got no staying power. I think TikTok is another flash in the pan. There, we've seen a lot of them. I just don't think it has any staying power.
I think it'll. I mean, it's not a Facebook or a Twitter, but it's a new Vine.
It's not even a Snapchat.
It's just a new way for people to share things.
Yeah,
Stacey.
I was going to say, I think it's actually, maybe, I don't think it's a social network, but I do think it's a very valuable form of entertainment for young people today. And it's how they're telling their stories and communicating who they are. And I wouldn't discount that.
I think musically was. I think now that the ante is so high on TikTok that it's too much work for people. What's going to happen is what happens with all of these networks. You're already seeing it. The big names, the brands are coming in. They're going to spend lots of money making elaborate TikToks. A few big TikTok stars will emerge as they did on Vine.
Right.
And they're going to put a lot of work into it. We were just looking at the unboxing videos by the three top Mac YouTube people using
Aries
and Reds. Three red cameras. And it just deals out your daughter completely. And at some point, she's going to say, I can't participate. Okay. It's an entertainment medium. And then
yes,
it's over.
Yes and no. Because she shares things with her friends, and she follows friends. And she does not want to be a TikTok star. And I know there's lots of... So she's in it for the fun and for the creativity. So... And there's nothing saying that she can't do that. And if her goal isn't to become, you know, the next whatever, I don't think, I still think that's valuable.
Oh, it's not a communication medium. It's an entertainment medium.
Honestly, what's going
to, I want to try it just to see.
I'd love to get, and do the hard heads use it?
No.
But is that because you don't let them?
No. They're free to use whatever they want. Most of the time they're using Snapchat or Instagram. Yeah, yeah. But the thing is...
And your daughter uses Instagram, right?
She's on it, but she doesn't use it.
I don't think the boys are interested. Now, Queen Pruitt is interested because her friends are watching things on it, but it's just like what Miss Stacy said. It's an entertainment thing.
Yeah, it's just funny.
They're not creating any content. They're just consuming it.
Right.
But it's short attention span stuff, you know.
Tali in our chat room says TikTok is amazingly fun and great for artistic people, but the main reason it'll hang around is because they've proved they can adapt and change. I love the unique style of creativity there. I hope it hangs around. It is very much like Vine to me.
And that's the only thing that comes to my mind, is it's just like Vine, which I had no interest in.
Twitter bought it and put it out of business.
Right.
Let's take a break. Come back with much more. Stacey Higginbotham, Stacey on IoT.com. Mr. Ant Pruitt from Hands On Photography.
And
Hands
Focus.
Focus on Photography. Mm-hmm. Hands On the Focus. Hands Off Your Focus. And all the other great shows.
And TikTok for 5 minutes.
TikTok. We're going to do the TikTok show. We actually, I'm embarrassed to admit, created a TikTok channel for Twit last week.
Oh, I know. I was told.
Yeah.
That's, Queen Pruitt mentioned you know, that. She's like, y'all on TikTok now. I said, huh?
Yeah. I'm glad you saw it. We have the best social network, social media people. Masako and Jerry do a great job. Mm-hmm. Masako's always going around with a camera tape.
Yeah.
Anytime anything happens around here, I feel like we have in-house paparazzi.
You have to be, like you're a star. I'll just say you have to be careful with Miss Masako. you never know.
She's recording it all. And Mr. Jeff Jarvis, who is teaching us the future about the future of journalism. Our show today brought to you by Worldwide Technology, the future of enterprise technology. Worldwide Technology has been around for a long time, about a decade. And I'll tell you what, once you become a customer of Worldwide Tech, and I know many, 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 many enterprises do, you just never stop because they provide the kind of service and support you're looking for. And a lot of that is because of their ATC, their Advanced Technology Center. They started building this 10 years ago. It's grown like Topsy. More than $500 million in equipment in the ATC. And it's for testing. It's for research. Their engineers use it to spin up proofs of concept and pilots to test products before they show them to you, to create a sandbox so that you can look and choose the perfect solution for you. But here's the beauty part. The ATC is also open to their customers. They offer something they call lab as a service. It's a dedicated lab space within the ATC where you can perform programmatic testing on that vast technology ecosystem that WWT has already built. It's kind of amazing. And you can do it, by the way, virtually. See, there's the Tanium Proving Ground Lab. So if you're looking at Tanium for your business, you want to understand more, you can go in here, you can set it up, you can play with it, you can create pilots, you can really bang on it. It's available 24/7 wherever you are in the world. You don't have to go to St. Louis to use it. It's available anywhere. It's amazing. This ecosystem creates a multiplier effect of knowledge, speed, and agility anytime, anywhere around the world for customers. Not just the labs, the hands-on labs, but case studies, articles, all the tools you need to understand enterprise technology before you buy it, before you use it, and after you buy it, to understand it better. It's just amazing. WWT is a trusted partner who stays with you over the years, and you're going to want to know more. So I know how you can find out more. I do. Go to WWT.com/twit and create an account and join the ATC ecosystem. WWT simplifies the complex at WWT.com/twit. Worldwide Technology, delivering business and technology outcomes around the world. We're going to be going out and visit them in the spring. I'm excited. We're going to do a show out there. Details to follow. Thank you, WWT, for supporting the show. So Tim Sweeney of Epic is in a battle with Google. Epic, remember, very famously did not want to put its Fortnite, the hottest game of the last few years, mm-hmm. in the store, in the Play Store, because they want a 30% cut. So, but the problem is, if you're not in the Play Store, it's hard for people to get it. It's risky to get it. So Epic went to them and said, look, we would like to put Fortnite in the Play Store, but we don't want to give you your 30% of in-app purchases. It's a free app, mm-hmm. but they make billions. Tim Sweeney made $7 billion last year on in-app purchases in Fortnite.
Do they have a similar deal with Apple, or are they just like, you're so amazing?
I don't think so. The thing is, Apple, you got no choice. There's no sideloading. Right. You have a choice on Android, right?
Okay. Exactly.
And so,
exactly.
Honestly, and I think there is, as I remember, a case going to the Supreme Court about Apple's monopoly. Honestly, Apple has a monopoly on apps you could put on the iPhone, but Google does not.
Did you see the information? Jessica Lesson did a story about getting their app approved by the Apple Store.
And
it was designed
app.
To rile people, but it talked about the approval process in depth. And
it used to be pretty painful back in the days.
I think it's still painful.
I think it's
more painful.
Yeah. But people are willing to do it because
eyeballs.
Yeah.
They have to.
If you want to be on the iPhone, and in the U.S. anyway, the iPhone is very, very dominant. No, I didn't. Inside our App Store ordeal, I love Jessica Lesson. She's been on our shows. She's great. It all started with the price. Peter Schultz, who leads our product and engineering teams, walked into my office and told me we couldn't charge what we had planned to for our upcoming news app because you have to follow Apple's own tiers.
Oh.
And I don't mean T-E-A-R-S.
Oh.
I mean T-I-E-R-S. They wanted $30 a year, but that's not in the Apple tier.
It goes on to talk about things like the way they advertised was too over the top. It talks about...
They rejected the app 4 times.
Yeah, they rejected it because they had some of the stories they ran in the app were on the free site, so they changed the way that worked. Oh, they had to change the way a lot of things worked.
Now, I'm a subscriber, so I already have the information, and I put the name of the app, by the way, is great, Tech Top 10, and it's actually very useful. No, what's their number one story? Alex Heath's story about Twitter bidding to build a decentralized social network. They do really great work. In fact, they've gotten better year after year after year. But this is what I love about the information and Jessica is they don't mind speaking truth to power, and it's a risky thing. You don't see a lot of developers complaining about Apple's process too publicly, because
they know that it's
a lot of power there,
buttering their bread, essentially. What I don't get about this thing with Epic is it takes a lot of cojones to come up to someone and say, hey, I want to use your platform, but I want to use it on my terms. I know you can give me more and more eyeballs and get more people access to my game, but I want to do this on my own terms.
They're making the calculated decision to do this based on the fact that they think demand is higher than, and Google won't say no. They just think they're the ones in power in this play, in this situation.
We talked about it briefly on All About Android last night, and I wonder, because I don't have data in front of me or anything, but I wonder, is Epic sitting at a point of plateau right now as far as growth?
And maybe that's why they want to be in the store.
Right. So what prompted them to say, hey, you know what, we need to give Android a try, and we need to give the Google way of doing it a try, but we still want to leverage our strength of, hey, we are Epic and Fortnite.
Here's Epic's statement they gave to The Verge. Epic doesn't seek a special exemption for ourselves. Rather, we expect to see a general change in smartphone industry practices in this regard. Okay, good luck.
Well, with that statement, it's okay. You're trying to pioneer something for the people behind you.
Yeah.
Great, but still, you're going into an ecosystem that's pretty black and white.
The threat here, though, is a threat of litigation. We believe this form of tying of a mandatory payment service with a 30% fee is illegal in the case of a distribution platform with over 50% market share. So I think that's essentially saying, you got to let us in because otherwise we're going to sue.
And Google said, okay, we'll meet you in court on Tuesday
Google said that.
Or Wednesday.
Yeah. And by the way, Jessica Lessen's story says the biggest problem, as you pointed out, Stacey, with the app store, the biggest problem they had, if we want to launch, we had to disable a part of the app that allowed users to preview information articles and subscribe to read them. The reason is, of course, that's information subscription doesn't go through the app store.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple wants that 30%.
Yeah.
And so this is a problem. And honestly, we've gone back and forth about this on all of our Mac shows since the day it started for years. And, you know, on the one hand, developers, if you do it yourself, you have to provide bandwidth to store your app, which is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to promote it, which is expensive. You have all sorts of issues. You go into the app store. Yeah, Apple takes 30%. But before that, you get storage, bandwidth, promotion. They handle the transactions in the background.
All the headache is gone.
And so I think, honestly, a lot of developers say that's not the problem, the 30%. The kind of unknown quantity that getting approval is a problem, because you get rejected for weird reasons and you don't understand
the
reasons.
Remember the logos for getting rejected for people?
Yeah, and sometimes Apple seems like they enforce it in unevenly and so forth. She points out, you know, I tried to download an audiobook from Audible on my iPhone and was told why I couldn't. I always hated this. Because Audible and no Amazon, you know, subscriptions are allowed. Amazon won't allow that because they don't want to give 30%. There are a lot of subscriptions, though, on iPhone that go through Apple.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's a great convenience for the user because it uses Apple Pay. You just double click and it recognizes your face. It's very fast. In fact, I think that's really the secret sauce in a lot of Instagram ads these days is it's so easy to pay that you're likely in a befuddled, half-asleep state to buy underwear that you will never...
Buying heated underwear and colorful hats.
Oh, it sounds like the voice of experience.
Heated underwear? What?
It's a long, painful story.
Long story.
You didn't really, did you?
It wasn't me. Wasn't me.
I didn't.
It's cozy.
It wasn't me.
Sounds like a story from the Christmas party late enough.
Yeah, I missed this story.
Anyway, the good
I'm
news,
okay by that.
The information did get in. The bad news, Tim Sweeney lost. And he's not happy about either the Apple or the Google VIG, the 30%. He says it's grossly out of proportion with the cost of services the two companies provide. Epic has its own store, by the way, and when Epic takes their cut, they take an 11.5% cut. They don't take 30%. So,
well, that's their prerogative.
Right. Well, we'll see. I suspect we're going to see this is a big company pushing back, and they have deep pockets, and I can see them saying, we ought to take this to court.
Go on to court.
This is one we'd like to get a review.
I'll get my popcorn ready for that.
Yeah. I'm kind of with them. I don't know. You know, the other thing that Apple provides from the end user's point of view is the security because they check the app carefully for security flaws. Well, at least in theory, it seems like they're more interested in the color of the font. But in theory, you're more secure in a curated app store like that.
Think about it again with a simpleton mind. Oh, hello.
I hate you, Siri.
Hello, C-R-Y. Think about it from a simpleton standpoint. Let's look at, say, a barber wanting to get started in business, and they go to a particular venue and get charged booth rent. They pay that booth rent because they know, hey, I can get foot traffic here. I'm going to have a lot of my facilities taken care of right here. I don't have to worry about all that extra overhead and so forth. I can make up that 30% with the extra foot traffic that I get each and every week.
Right.
You know, what's the difference here? It's none of this seems unfair, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, Epic is just, again, getting a little bit too big here. Let it go, dude.
Well, there are other, like, what if there's only two salons in town, and so you've got to go with one or the other?
That's more apt, yeah.
They never, like, and there is a case to be made that maybe as with economies of scale, so the longer they do this, the better they get at it. Shouldn't they, I mean, should they bring the pricing down to something more reasonable? Because there's no, I mean, Google set 30% because Apple set 30%.
That's true.
Okay, so
but that's the point of monopoly is that you don't have you establish a monopoly, then you don't have to bring the prices down. You can set it to whatever you want.
With that said, then Epic could just stay in their own lane and instead of charging 11%, make it 15%. Why not do that?
Because they can't get on the Google.
No! I'm saying Epic just continue to do what they're doing now.
But they did, and they charge 11.5%.
Instead of charging 11.5%, make it 15%. So
well, but they don't want to. They want to. They that's what they use as an example of how they
clearly want some more downloads and some more cash if they're trying to get into the.
They may not. So. They may just be trying to meet the demand for Fortnite on Android devices.
It's a bet. Look, it's a better experience. We've even said this. The first time they were started to offer a Fortnite for a sideload, there was malware.
Right.
And so it's a much better experience for the user if it's in the Play Store. Everybody knows that. And that's the leverage Google has. And that's absolutely the leverage Apple has. There's no other choice. So at least Google gives you a checkbox and you could say, I want a sideload. Apple, by the way, is moving in that direction, I think, on Mac OS. And I think that's the other point of this a little bit might be. The subtext of this might be to threaten Apple and Microsoft. You know, this isn't working on the store, on the mobile, and it really won't work on a desktop. Because Epic has a desktop app.
They do.
They would be really upset. And I remember when the Windows Play Store started, Gabe Newell of Steam was very upset and said, this is the end. They're trying to kill Steam. They want all app purchases, all game purchases to go through them, and Microsoft take its percentage. And that's the fear, I think, of people like Sweeney and Newell. Is they've got their own fiefdoms. They don't want to have to pay these VIGs. And I don't blame them. Okay. I don't blame them. And I don't know if it's good for consumers or not. That's a more complicated issue. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. I want to do a change log.
And it's a big change log. I even added some stuff to it.
It's a massive change log. It is the biggest change log we've ever had. In fact, I think it's pretty exciting. There's some good stuff in here, but stay tuned. We're going to first mention our sponsor, ExpressVPN. By now, anybody who watches our shows knows that a VPN is the only safe way to sit on an open Wi-Fi access point. I think a lot of our listeners use ExpressVPN even at home, because it doesn't slow you down. That's one of the amazing things about ExpressVPN. And it does keep your ISP or your carrier from snooping on what you're doing. It stops that hacker in the open Wi-Fi coffee shop from seeing what you're up to. So all of those things, privacy and security. But there's also an advantage to ExpressVPN that's pretty cool. It can help you take your TV watching to the next level. Mm-hmm. What? Well, unlocking movies and shows that are only available in other countries. See, when you use ExpressVPN, you get to choose the default. The simple one-click default is to go to the nearest VPN server to you. Mm-hmm. But you can choose any of 100 countries. And that means you can go to those countries and watch, for instance, Netflix in that country. Want to binge on Doctor Who or Star Trek? You can't watch it in Netflix US, but you can in Netflix UK. Simply change your locale to England or the United Kingdom, and refresh Netflix, and suddenly you've got all the shows. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. Think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. If you love anime, use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix. It's not just Netflix. By the way, there's a list on the website, but Hulu, BBC's iPlayer, YouTube, I can go on and on. A lot of streaming sites are suddenly open to you with ExpressVPN. By the way, to be clear, this is not illegal. Nope. In fact, I even asked Netflix, what's the deal? And they said, well, we tell people we don't want you to use a VPN because it's going to be a bad experience. It's going to be too slow. But we don't, honestly, if you want to use it, go ahead. We won't stop you. And with ExpressVPN, it's so fast that, in fact, I left it on. I was demonstrating it yesterday during iOS Today, and I forgot to turn it off. I downloaded the iOS 13 update. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch TV.
No big deal.
I was doing all this stuff with ExpressVPN running until I realized, wait a minute, I'm on Tokyo time. Oh, I left it on. That's how fast it is. I love ExpressVPN. There's never any buffering or lag. You can stream in HD, no problem. It works everywhere you want to be. Of course, Windows, Mac, Android, and iOS, but also Linux, also media consoles, smart TVs, and more. Yes, you can watch what you want on the go or even on the big screen. We love ExpressVPN. Privacy, absolutely. They're reviewed by an independent third-party auditor just the other day, and they said, yep, it does exactly. Their privacy policy, exactly what they do. They do not log. In fact, the trusted server technology ExpressVPN uses absolutely prevents the server from writing to the hard drive. There's no way to log. Every time you log in, you get a nice, fresh, new server. You don't ever have to worry about what you're doing being tracked by ExpressVPN or anybody else, for that matter. Right now, you get a great deal, 3 extra months free when you subscribe for a year at expressvpn.com/twig. 3 extra months with a one-year package. That is the absolute best deal. Get it down below $7 a month. Support our show. Watch what you want. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/twig. We thank them so much for their support. And I thank you for supporting us, not only by being an ExpressVPN customer, but by using that special address. That way they know. Oh, they watch Twig. expressvpn.com/twig. Now, get ready. I wanted to start the changelog early today, because it's going to take a couple of hours. It's time for the Google changelog. Hit the button, Karsten.
The Google changelog.
Wow. Where do we start? I'm going to tell you my favorite thing as a Pixel user. Google has announced, I think this is really interesting, that they're going to start updating the Pixel monthly with features. And this is smart because, you know, the Pixel 4 got a lot of negative, I think, unfortunate negative reviews. I don't think deserve negative reviews. This will make the Pixel 4 and all Pixel phones more desirable. The new update, which is being pushed in December, lets you blur backgrounds after you take the picture. Even pictures you took years ago, if you forgot to turn on portrait mode, you can use portrait mode. This clearly is a...
In that demo, isn't that entire photo blurry?
I don't know. I haven't got it yet, so I can't tell you if it works.
I haven't either.
I look forward to trying it.
I got it, and it does work. It figures out which of your photos are portraits, and instead of the pop slider, you get a blur slider.
Oh, nice.
So it has
yes, I have this too. It is neat.
Now, did you... How do you get it? December update. Well, you have to update, right?
Well, no, so I had a little light bulb notification that I had never seen before. It was either yesterday or the day before, and I touched it, and it was like, hi, we've updated your phone with recorder, blur thing, and one other thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by
and
the
I was
way,
like, thanks, Google.
Because we were talking, recorder. I was showing off on the Pixel 4 this really great recorder, which does transcription. Mm-hmm. You asked Jeff, can I use it on my 3A? Yes, you can.
It's on there now.
Isn't that awesome?
It's on there. I downloaded it straight. You can download the app on its own, and it's killer.
Oh, that's so good. It really is a great app. So you go to the sliders. It says, I know this is a portrait. I don't know. I can't tell.
Hey, I was struggling just to find a selfie of myself.
It doesn't have to be a selfie. It can be just a picture of anybody. So where is it? Yeah, see, I still have pop.
Yeah, I don't have
so
it.
So they're going to replace pop.
Yeah, I don't think
with background.
I don't think it can tell that's.
It doesn't. It's not obviously a portrait.
Yeah.
So let me go to a different one. Yeah.
Pick a different one.
Yeah. That's a portrait.
That's a portrait, and it's not there.
That's a portrait. Slider, edit, pop. You got pop too.
Yeah, that's odd.
So it's not being pushed out. It's not being pushed out universally. Yet, right?
Mr. Bundy, when you had that slider, I guess it gives you a little more control on how far to the edge of the subject you can get because the previous
doing it automatically.
It
right.
It was not super good. Okay. I mean, granted, I was using it on a picture of my son whose hair is epic.
Right.
And hard to do.
Yeah, it's hard
I just think I don't have the update. Otherwise, I'd show you. This is clearly a portrait of Lisa, right? I mean, there's no question about that. And I still have pop at the bottom. Not that pop isn't great.
Right.
How do you even get to that?
You have to hit the control sliders twice.
I'm not getting that even. Oh, so, twice.
Twice. Oh. So there's one and there's two because it comes up with the filters first. So, all right. Well, Stacy's got it. So it is. It's out. It's coming out.
I don't even have pop. I just have light color and blur.
Yeah, and that's what happened on this other image of mine, Mr. Jarvis.
I love this one too.
Light color
Wait,
and blur.
What did you just say, Jeff? You have light.
All I have is light color and blur.
There's blur.
That's it.
Blur.
Light color and blur.
Yeah. Oh.
Blur is the thing.
Yeah, it does.
Because I have light color and pop.
It does
yeah,
it for
you
this
either
picture.
Either get light color and pop for portrait
oh,
pictures
you do
or
have
light
Jeff.
Color and blur.
So it's buggy.
I feel so privileged.
You're a lucky, lucky man.
It didn't work for my selfie that I found, but it did work for
this. Well, it's got to use AI, right? It's trying to figure
tripod.
Out. Yeah.
God, they hide things. Jeez. That they is have pretty, a great new feature, and you're never going to find it.
It is pretty deep in there, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's a small
screen.
Now
it says pop.
Yours says pop.
Well, it's, I guess, the wrong photo. I thought it was going to be more of a...
If it thinks it's a portrait, it will be...
It'll do it.
If it
thinks it's a portrait, but it's not, it's new chiffon.
And I will say, because my image has decent contrast, that
blur... Oh, there we go.
That blur does look pretty good.
That looks great. So, yeah, contrast is something it's using for sure.
Ant's photos are too good to be...
Marshall McLuhan t-shirt.
Wrong, can you see that, Mr. Bondi?
Wrong. Go to the overhead shot.
He's slamming buttons over there.
Is the TriCaster stuck? Go to overhead shot. Go to overhead shot.
You can hear him slapping the buttons
over
there.
That's the direct screenshot.
I'm trying
overhead.
It. Okay. There it is. There it is. Sorry.
Go to overhead. So look at, yeah, you could, yours worked. You got blur, and that's really beautiful.
It's pretty good.
So this blur. Was not shot with a with what they call bokeh mm-mm. in the background. This one, I see all I have is pop, and that's got to be a portrait.
Right.
So I don't. So I don't have it yet.
Here
is another
feature. I'll show you it on mine. I'll give you my son.
I don't care. I don't want to see it anymore. Here is another.
He can't
this
have
is
it.
Going to be an 8 Nobody hour
change log. The Google change log is long. Let's go.
Uh-oh. Stacy's impatient.
Everybody wants to see
Stacey's
it.
Stacy's now mad at Karsten.
Here is. That is a great picture. Is that Zach?
That is a
That's
cool
Alex.
Shot.
Alex has great hair. And here's the blur at the bottom. So, oh, yeah, see, that works pretty well. It's kind of like Apple's where, you know, because his hair. On the edges, it's a little soft on the edges.
Right, yeah, it's going to get a little confused.
But that's all right. That's really
that
good.
With a phone and AI.
That's really that's really neat. All right, enough of that.
Nice
I don't
work.
Care anymore. Put okay, an end to going. Robocalls with our latest update to call screen on Pixel 4 in the U.S.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry.
Thank you.
The Google Assistant now helps you automatically screen unknown callers and filter out robocalls before your phone even rings.
That's awesome. Thank you, Google.
Karsten, turn off your mic.
I'm breathing hard.
Well, it's not the breathing. There's a machine.
There's a hum going in.
Yeah, there's a machine that Karsten's standing next to that suddenly got really noisy. I think we need to fix the fan on or something. I don't know. Improved calls in Duo. I've been using Duo lately because my daughter is an Android user and she mm-hmm. wants to make video calls.
We use it a lot more now since we relocated.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And the family can keep in touch. And it's nice to see how everybody's face lit up knowing that app was on the phone. And
so it's doing what, remember what the Facebook portal did was if you move off center, it follows you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing that. Watch, here's the demo. And then if somebody else, Karsten, here's the demo. Somebody gets else that gets in the picture. See, they add the other person.
Oh, it's a duo bomb.
It's a duo bomb. And then it zooms in. She's not doing it. It's just, it does it automatically. I like that.
That's pretty slick.
I like that. I'll use that.
That one. Reminds me. So way back in the day, remember when, was it Hangouts came out and you could put like hats and stuff on your head when you were talking to people?
Yeah, I remember that.
So
it'd follow you
we
around.
Would stick pictures of other people's faces in.
Oh, that's
you
funny.
Know, Google would figure out what to do with that. So that must have been that's kind fun. Of the beginning there yeah. of developing something like
when
this.
When a bad connection leads to spotty audio, a machine learning model on your Pixel 4 predicts the next likely sound. And
well, that could cause problems?
It's going to induce sound interpolation. What? It also reduces choppiness on your video feed with this Pixel 4's 90 hertz screen. So Duo will do 90 hertz. And on Pixel 2, 3, and 4, you can now apply a portrait filter. So if you want that blurry background, this is something Skype does, and it works so poorly on Skype. And it looks like it works equally poorly on Duo. I would not use that one. So
it'd be worth a try, though.
Recorder app. The main point of this, though, is not these features, but this is going to start happening every month now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get live caption on your 3A. Remember that feature I showed mm-hmm. you where I'm watching.
Oh yeah,
YouTube
I've been
video?
Waiting for this.
That's awesome. That's a great feature. Digital well-being is going to get a new focus mode. Flip to shush. Flip Ooh. To shush is very useful. That'll be going to the Pixel 2. So
wait,
not
what is
only,
flip to shush?
So
Does
if
that
your
mean
phone
I...
rings, you can do it already. If your phone's ringing, you just flip it over and it shushes.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Do I have to turn that on?
It's in the settings.
It's already in there.
Yeah, but it may not be on by default. I don't know.
Oh, I am totally doing that right now.
And improved on-device locations on the Pixel 4. So this is really cool.
Another thing I noticed they added to photos with the blur is a color pop option.
With the blur?
Yeah. Well,
no, I have the pop now.
It's,
no, you're saying with the blur, though.
You can
on blur and pop
on portrait photos.
Now with blur and pop
on
Where's
portrait
snap
photos,
and crackle?
It will black and white everything that's not portrait.
Oh, so now that it knows your head, you
oh,
can
I
make everything
you.
Black and white instead.
Color nice. Splash.
Color splash. Color splash.
Right. Gotcha.
And that's the Google changelog. Nope, that's what? Just item one.
Oh, I was like, what about just Chrome 79?
Just item one.
Long way to go.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's talk about Waze, because I thought this was great.
Okay, let's
Waze
talk about
going,
Waze.
Waze is going to let you show unplowed streets and black ice. You can report that along with police officers and accidents, which I think is amazing.
That's huge. That's huge.
And I'm excited.
I hate it.
Why?
When I get behind somebody who, like, there's a kid in the car. And in New Jersey, they're reporting every single pothole, which is every 6 inches. So this is all dependent on how good the incoming data are.
Pothole. How about black ice, Jeff? Explain. What are you Easterners?
I know you. I know you wusses out there on the West Coast, and you former Southern wuss.
This
you don't know.
We didn't like black ice in the South, dude. Yeah.
Is that like blood diamonds or what? What is black ice?
No. Yeah, you can hit them.
It's ice on the roads that you can't see.
I know what it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the road is already black.
There might be people listening who have never heard this before.
Right.
It's invisible ice, which is actually terrifying.
It's pretty scary when you hit
a patch. But the only way that Waze is going to know this
is somebody tells
somebody reported it.
Right.
And how long, and you know, it includes... The street isn't plowed yet, but what if 10 minutes later the street's plowed?
Right, and black ice.
There's a real data problem here.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, because Waze will ask you if you pass a place and it will say, is this accident still here? Is this street still unplowed? And you could be like,
can you answer that?
No.
Yeah, you respond.
You should respond.
And it's a one button.
There's a car. I'm sorry, I'm being grumpy. There's a car on the side of the road. Well, yeah, and it doesn't affect me. And why are you telling me this? Don't tell me this.
I see that a lot.
People slow down and it creates traffic.
Not in Jersey. The people pull off all the time to do things and we keep going because we're Jersey. We know how to keep going. It's okay.
That's the one time I'd like to be in Jersey.
We'll see West Coasters.
I am excited that Google – well, I was excited that Google's going to wake your alarm up or change your alarm based on the weather.
Tell me about that. That's kind of cool. Like if it's raining, it's going to get you up earlier or what?
No. It's just going to give you different music. But
maybe it's cold outside.
Oh, not that song.
It's AI-generated piano. And I don't know if you remember from a few weeks ago when we were listening to AI-generated music.
Yeah, that was crap.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, I'm not ready for this, I don't think.
Oh, I hate AI music.
Yeah, I would probably wake up to that so I can turn that off.
It's so awful you get up.
It would make you wake up. I imagine, I mean, if we can
turn
hear how bad this is, what if you're like a concert pianist and this wakes you up? You would just be like, this is my nightmare.
Rage.
Rage. Rage wake up. Get off my piano. What are you doing on my piano? It sounds like an 8-year-old.
Damn cats on the pianos again.
Oh, an arpeggio.
Stop.
There's ice on the intersection at 4th and Main. Watch out for the black ice, you could go to Spain. Suddenly you're spinning, suddenly you're gone. Okay, that's nice.
You got some pipes, man.
I want it to be a musical theater. So this is going to come out on the Lenovo smart clock first. It calls it Impromptu. And eventually it'll reach phones and other smart displays, but they don't say exactly when. The music is all created by Magenta, an open source music tool built around machine learning and sounding just as bad as Amazon's, maybe worse.
I guess you don't have to pay for that?
That's why. They don't want real music.
I'm like, could they pay John Legend to croon a few bars for me?
Yeah. Take some of that money you're giving Issa Rae and put it into music.
What's a good song for a hot day?
It's getting hot in here.
I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Yeah, I'd wake up to that.
I think the weather is kind of an interesting thing. Like,
what is it? I didn't understand that part. In fact, I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
part.
It picks the song based on the weather, which
gives you some information.
So I have to really investigate deeper. But I'm so amused by it. I haven't done it yet. You know, I have a Hello doorbell and I have a Google Nest Home Hub Max in the kitchen. And when somebody comes to the door, it's great. Almost instantaneously, the doorbell rings and the Home Hub says somebody's at the front door and shows me a picture.
Mm-hmm.
But plainly, it's played a horse clip-clop sound. I don't know why. Yes. Are you doing that, Stacey? That's very good.
I was doing that.
That's very good.
Florence Ions, hers is doing that too.
Hers is too?
Mm-hmm. Is it Did you
activate
the seasonal things from the Nest doorbell?
Is that what it is?
It's a seasonal.
Yeah, if it's Christmassy, that's probably what it is.
It's not Christmassy. It's just the horse clop.
Yeah, hers did that last night on the show before the show.
It did.
It's a sleigh.
They did have some glitches with it because they turned off the Halloween ones, but they forgot to make it so you could actually take it off. So people's doorbells were still doing Halloween for a little bit. So maybe this is a feature they're like still working on.
What do you think of this in general, Miss Stacy? Being, you know, all things IoT and
seasonal doorbell.
The alarm with the alarm with the weather sync. You know.
I think that's bizarro. just because, like, I just don't understand what song choices have to
Riders
do with the weather.
Riders on the storm, into this life we're home.
And see, considering if you're somewhere like right now here in Northern California where every morning you wake up, it's sort of gloomy and gray, do you want your alarm to give you some gloomy and gray song? You know?
Well, because some people might want happier music. Right. I mean, I like the idea of having variety in my music. Like, that's fine. Like, I used to have a Here Comes the Sun alarm clock, and I hate that song with a fiery passion now. but it is nice
if it changes it automatically based on, you know, if it's foggy
maybe based on your calendar. Like, if you have a day full of lots of meetings, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba!
Oh, give me that 1812 overture. Yes. Give me that.
Sorry, Jeff.
Chrome 79 is here. It's a, you know what? We're in a browser war, which is great for us as end users. Mm-hmm. Google, the Brave browser, our sponsor, Firefox, Microsoft's new Edge with Chrome.
Remember when we used to talk Bridge. About, there's a new browser version coming out.
Yeah. Well, we haven't in a while, but this is a big one. Predictive phishing. So it can
was
kind
it
of
predictive anti-phishing.
Yes, I think that's probably a better way to a password checkup tool. Which
Google's going to determine really whether you're an idiot, and it's going to phish you.
Right. the password checkup tool I've used for a long time as an extension, but it's now going to be built in. So if your password has been revealed in a breach or you're using an unsafe password, it will let you know. It'll say that's been a data breach. You should not use that again. Which is, I think, a good idea.
That's been a data breach associated with you?
No, I've seen this password. Well, that's a good question. Yeah.
If it's seen your name and password together. Yeah, it knows your account number when you're browsing in Chrome, remember? Because
I
have to stop using Leo Laporte 1949.
Yes. In order to determine if your username and password appears in any breach, this is Google. We use a technique called private set intersection with blinding that involves multiple layers of encryption and allows us to compare your encrypted username and password with all of the encrypted breach usernames and passwords without revealing your username and password. In other words, they look at a hash of your name and password and compare it with the hashed database. And if there's a match, then the chances are good that it's been revealed. That's how Have I Been Pwned works.
Yeah.
Real-time blacklisting of bad sites. For a long time, Safe Browsing's been around, the Safe Browsing API. But because, according to Google, threat actors are changing sites and domains fast.
Every half hour?
Yeah, there's a 30-minute delay in the Safe Browsing updates. So there's a new option. You should probably look in Chrome. And in the sync and Google services section, allow the scanning of bad sites in real time. So it will actually look at the data you're getting from the site for known signatures. It's like an antivirus for websites. I think.
Yeah, you should do that if you have kids.
Now, Google's right to tell you this. You are sending your web browsing history to Google. You're still going to anonymize it, of course, in URLs and all that. But in order to do this, it has to do it in real time. Predictive phishing is warning you when you might be entering passwords on a site that is suspected of phishing. And so it basically will prevent you from being phished because the site looks like Twitter, but it's not, or the like. Mixed content, That's been going on for a while. With this release, Google will start slowly to block mixed content on HTTPS sites. Mixed content is not a bad thing. Sometimes you have, for instance, a login that is HTTPS, but the whole page is not. This is going to start blocking those. So webmasters, get that back. Get that, you know, fully encrypted. Tab freezing unloads all the tabs that have been inactive for more than 5 minutes.
That doesn't mean it closes them, does it? Or it just means it just stops considering them active?
Yeah, I think it leaves a little tab there, but it's not doing anything in the background.
Okay, all right.
But that's not on by default. You actually have to go to Chrome /flags to turn on proactive tab freezing.
That's a great feature.
That is a great feature. I think because
especially if you're on a Chromebook with the teeny weeny resources.
I close tabs, but a lot of people like Jeff just leave their tabs open. Are you a tab? You leave a lot of tabs.
I only have 6 open right now.
That's not bad at all.
And you probably have an empty inbox, don't you? You obnoxious
person.
I
am not inbox zero. So.
Oh, shoot.
I don't subscribe to that religion.
I file them away, though.
Oh, no.
I don't touch them. I like seeing that I have 23,000 unread emails in my inbox.
That was a moment on this show when I realized.
It's just your ego boost, right?
Search, because was Google didn't let you delete emails for a while,
yeah, right? Yeah. Right.
And that's what made me realize, oh, okay.
Search them.
I just searched them.
It's a database.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
New UI for the Chrome profile section, a back forward button caching. Okay, this is experimental. A special cache for the back and forward Chrome buttons. So if you go back or forward in your browsing history, instead of you've seen this. You were on a site. You went to the pay, and then you press the back button. It says, "Oh, hey, I'm gonna. I have to reload the page." Now it'll just get it straight from cache, rather than going to the website and reloading, and that will speed you a little bit. Another one in Chrome's.
We'll do we'll ping to see if the site's been updated since.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, or what if you like? Because usually they complain because they're like, "Now I have to do a form resubmission." But,
well, let me read you what Google says. Enables back-forward cache. Note, this feature is highly experimental and will lead to various breakages, up to and including data loss.
Whoops.
And it's in Chrome /flags, so it won't be on by default. Lots more. The new Chrome 79 is here. Woo-hoo. Google Assistant now supports Google Keep. This is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's the main reason I didn't use Google Keep is I couldn't add items to it through my Google Assistant.
Now you can
not only add items, you can create a new list. And
what's the command?
I'm not gonna say it out loud.
AG ask keep to create a new list.
Yeah, or add buy groceries to my honeydew list, and maybe it will make the list if you don't have it. I know you have to play with it. It's also gonna work in AnyDo, any list, and Bring. So maybe there's an API or something. I should, by the way.
Not yet.
If you're a Google Fi subscriber,
free
Google, little one of those Google Dots available right now.
Oh, right.
Go to your Fi account.
Home Mini, is that what
Home
it is?
Mini.
Home Minis.
If you go to fi.google.com, as soon as you go there, it'll say, hey, through the end of the year. While supplies last through the end of the year, price not included. You can't get pink because I tried. Yeah, I had to get black.
The holiday gift is here.
Yeah, isn't that neat? Oh, I'm glad I told you. You didn't know this. Jeff's learned something today.
If you pay for one of those things, you're crazy. Yeah. I'm just like, you can get one for buying all kinds of stuff.
They're putting them in the Cap'n Crunch boxes now.
I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Cracker Jack.
To see if you have this
free.
Option.
I don't need one, but it's free.
Yeah, it's free. I don't need one either.
But no, don't do that. Don't do that, you guys. That's a bunch of electronic waste that gets generated.
I'll find something to do with it.
I'm going to use it at the school.
I've been driving around with a Google Assistant in my trunk of my car. My daughter said it doesn't work. I just put it in my trunk. Here's how you do it. It's going to be rolling out to integrate Google Keep, AnyDo, AnyList with your Google Assistant. To see if you have this option, open the Assistant settings, go to the Services tab. If you have Notes and Lists as an option, select the service you prefer. Off you go. AnyDo's good. Use that for a long time. I'm guessing it's not going to work with my Apple Reminders, but oh well.
I was a Wonderlist guy.
Yeah.
Wonderlist just killed and
it.
Keep.
And, you just killed it. And, Keep's yeah. good. It doesn't have...
I let it go. I ended up going back to Evernote.
I have grocery lists there.
What was Gina's thing? Gina Trapani?
Oh, yeah. She had to-do.txt.
Yeah.
And that was a fully text-based to-do list, which was awesome.
Really simple and direct. Simple.
Loved that. Mm-hmm. Loved that. Boy, there's a whole lot more.
We're doing great.
All Google Fi supported Android devices will get spam call warnings and Wi-Fi calling, all of them now. All five features on all five phones. I didn't realize you couldn't, but there you go. iPhones are Fi compatible. Oh. Oh. So.
Okay, so this goes beyond Pixels. Oh. Okay.
Now yeah. So this is weird because you can put a Fi chip in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not fully Fi. It doesn't do like the network switching, right? It just becomes a T-Mobile.
Right.
I don't know. Any Fi compatible device, including iPhones, get spam call warnings, the ability to block specific numbers. All Android phones on Google Fi are getting access to the enhanced VPN network and Wi-Fi calling. It's in the Fi app on the phone settings menu. So just go to the Fi app and see. That's nice. We mentioned the Fi Nest Mini. AR core phones can now detect depth with one camera. So that means your Pixel 3a can do depth now with its back camera there.
Woohoo!
This is a new feature of AR core. So see the cat standing in the middle of the chair. See the cat behind the chair. That's an example. The cat appears behind the furniture instead of standing in front of it. It's because it's now got 3D depth.
Yay.
That's AI. AI at work, baby.
I'm confused.
That's computational AR.
Does it help if I say
that
that cat...
Fake? Is that a cat deep
it's
fake?
It's not real. It's a AR cat. So now does that help? Now it looks more
deep
like a real
fake.
Cat. Deep fake cat. Google Maps.
Oh, no. The world is going to fall apart. People will think there are cats in all these places where there aren't cats. What will we do?
Or simulating sex acts with cats.
Yikes.
Google
you
Maps.
Went there, Leo.
Well, that's what deep fakes is all about. Let's face it.
No, I thought it was about Vladimir Putin, Leo. I didn't think it was about sex with cats, Leo.
We need an intervention here, Leo.
Next on the list, yeah.
Google will let you attach emails to emails. It's emails all the way down. You can now attach emails to other emails in Gmail without downloading them first.
That's great.
Don't know why you would want to do that, but you can.
Why would you ever want Ed, why would you want to do that?
There are times when I want to forward things.
It's a better way to forward.
Right. It's just so
why is it a better
easier.
Way to forward?
Well, let's say Ant and I are going to CES next year, and Ant just got an invitation to go see somebody's booth. He could just drag it over,
mm-hmm.
drag it out of his inbox right onto my
and
mail.
Make it
as opposed to forwarding it. What's the difference?
Well, hold on. Do you get the whole chain of emails, or can you just attach one particular segment?
That's the part that I'm curious about, because I'd rather just have that one particular message and not the whole thread.
I'm guessing it's just that message. The attached email becomes a .eml file that's attached. Mm-hmm. You can attach as many as you'd like. And when you click on the .eml email attachment in Gmail, it'll open in a new window. I bet you it's just the top.
That's exactly what you do with Outlook.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would be helpful. Because there are plenty of times when you're like, "Did I say something I shouldn't have said?" And
just
not even like terrible things, but stuff you don't want people to read.
Right. Incognito mode arrives on Google Maps on iOS, so you can tell it, "Don't send back to the Goog where I'm going next."
Don't send it just yet.
Don't send it yet. Yeah, wait till I get there, and then you can send it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude the world's longest.
Stacey's asleep.
Google changelog.
No, I had a migraine, and I took some migraine medicine, and it's just knocking me out. So I'm kind of terrible right now.
Oh, we can wrap this up.
Are you better?
Oh, no. This is it. I am yawning a lot, and I'm sorry.
No, I thought you were doing. I honestly got thought you were doing a long changelog joke.
Oh no,
sorry, I was giving you credit for your wry humor. I know what I want to do.
What do you want to do?
Because you wouldn't let me make fun of Peloton last week because you got all huffy about
it. So you're going to let Ryan Reynolds do it?
Yeah, it's the best for you.
All right.
Have you guys seen it?
Can I play this? Is it going to get us pulled down?
I don't think so.
Watch. Really. Here's a poor person who is...
The same woman from the Peloton ad.
Is it the same woman?
Oh, yes. Yes.
She's looking sad. She's at a martini bar with her friends.
Jen is really smooth.
Well, friends are looking very concerned. One,
if you like, you're safe here. To new beginnings.
They're drinking martinis. She's really drinking the martini.
Fun night.
Wow, all the way down.
One.
Nice.
She's gonna drink her friend's martini.
Impressive.
It's an AV.
By the way.
And then it ends with, you look great, by the way, with the gin there. Because obviously she doesn't need the Peloton because she looks great.
Well played.
I didn't even know that was a takedown of a Peloton ad.
The reason it's Ryan Reynolds is
he owns Aviator Gin.
Yes, yes.
And our sponsor, Mint Mobile, he's apparently making way too much money. Aviation Gin. By the way, how would you make an Aviator?
Aviation is actually the drink.
Okay.
Is it?
Is it really?
It's a good gin.
It's a good gin.
It's aviation.
I actually looked up where I can buy it. I was so pleased with that commercial.
Don't go buy it for that. I mean, it's fine if you're in a hotel bar, but buy a better gin. Oh. buy a more interest. Let me rephrase that.
I buy good gins. I go to Gary V's family's wine store. That's where I've shopped for years and years. Nice. They don't have a big, interesting gin collection there.
It's a wine store.
It is about wine.
No. The second floor is all hard liquor.
BevMo, baby. BevMo has all the gins.
Really?
Yeah, I actually went to a gin tasting last night, and I tasted Hapusa, which is a South African gin. No, Hapusa is from Goa. I lied. And then Wilder, I can't say it. And that's a South African gin.
What was your favorite?
Surprisingly, raw, I did not like the South African one, but when it was with tonic, it turned into just the best beverage.
Oh.
I was very excited. So there we go.
I'm just running Stacey, down
Stacey,
here.
I don't mean to. Yes. Are you sure it's a migraine you had, not a hangover?
Oh, yes. It was.
I know. I'm sorry. It was a bad joke.
That was too easy.
We were pouring little tiny, like half ounce tasting pours. And now, I only had three, so that's 1.5 ounces.
I am going to be mad for a moment at Verizon. It's so easy to be mad at Verizon.
Oh, boy.
It is.
Yes.
Too easy.
They bought Yahoo, you may remember, and they're closing down Yahoo groups. There is a group of internet archivists who have been trying to collect...
God's work.
Doing God's work. Do you know how many? There are 5.6 million groups... on Yahoo groups, and in just a few days, the data's going away. It'll be gone.
Wow.
It's erasing history.
Yeah. So the archive is trying to save as much as they can. They've already saved 1.8 billion messages. They've been doing this for a while, ever since they found out Yahoo was going to shut it down.
And this is only for groups, right?
This is for groups. And this team... published a message saying Yahoo has banned all the email addresses the volunteers are using to download data, making it impossible for us to use the scripts we're using to capture the groups.
Oh, that's just
Yahoo has said to the group, the resources needed to maintain historical content from Yahoo groups pages is cost prohibitive as they're largely unused. The archivists violated the terms of service. They suggested the number of users affected was small. Well, yeah, they're volunteers, 128 people. Regarding the 128 people who joined Yahoo groups with the goal to archive them, are these people from archiveteam.org? If so, their actions violated our terms of service. Because of this violation, we're unable to reauthorize them.
Yahoo's just a jerk.
Clearly.
Verizon.
I mean, Verizon's a jerk.
Yeah.
There is no more Yahoo. It's been subsumed into the port.
As of today, they've extended the deadline for requesting to download data to Friday, January 31st. Now, the point of this is that many of these groups are abandoned. All of the messages were public. They're not downloading private messages.
No privacy violations,
but you have to be a member of the administrator of the group to use Verizon's download tool to archive the group.
All right.
And since many of these millions of groups are old and nobody's around, they're not getting downloaded. So I think it's a worthy thing to archive. Yes?
I agree.
I hope Verizon listens.
They won't.
And says, oh, yeah, you know, there is some history here. I had a bunch of Yahoo groups.
I didn't use groups. I did have a throwaway email, and I just decided to log into that.
There's
nothing in there.
Yeah, they got rid of a lot of those.
All of that's gone.
Emails, yeah.
Did not know that.
So 1.4 million groups have public message archives, an estimated number of 2.1 billion messages. Mm.
Just give it to the Internet Archive and just let them deal with
it. They got a lot of them, but they didn't get all of them. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. Verizon, notorious for doing the wrong thing until they get caught. So maybe now that they've been caught, they'll go, oh, this is bad PR. Maybe we should fix this.
They won't.
Spotify. End of the year for Spotify. They have talked a little bit about podcasts. You may remember that Spotify spent a lot of money on podcasts. They bought a production company, Gimlet, and Anchor, the podcast production tool, for $300 million. Later, they bought Parcast, the crime, mystery, and sci-fi producer, spending around $400 million. Spotify's goal is to become the premier producer of podcasts, the leading platform for podcast creators. Apparently it's working for them. They are showing significant bumps in the number of listens. Let me see if I can find that number because I saw it here. 500,000 podcast titles on Spotify. Listeners have grown by more than 50% since the start of the year. 50% growth since January.
Good for them.
39% increase in podcast hours consumed by listeners quarter over quarter. The most consumed podcast on Spotify, the Joe Budden podcast with Rory and Mal. Don't know that one.
I've heard of it, but that's about it.
It's like I'm unaware of this.
The big categories.
Just like YouTube. We don't know anything anymore.
That's right.
We're oldish.
Well, and the only thing that's bad about Spotify is, and they aren't doing it always, but if the things that are exclusive to Spotify, right, you have to have the Spotify app to listen to. You can be Spotify free tier, but you have to have the Spotify app. Mm-hmm. And of course that gives them advertiser metrics. They know all about what you're doing, how much you listened, how long you listened, when you listened, who you are. They can use that with advertisers. That puts pressure on us and other independent podcasts because we can't really do that because we want you to listen on whatever app you want. We don't want people to spy on our users.
That's right.
We know that privacy is important to you. However, we have some grave concerns, and we're not alone. A lot of podcasters are really starting to be concerned now that because of stuff like this, there's going to be incredible pressure from advertisers. Hey, we want to track your listeners. And if you don't let us, then you're not going to get the ad buy.
Yeah.
We're starting to hear that. And a number of other podcasters. There was a video I posted on YouTube by another guy who said this is going to be a real problem. Ad tech is coming to podcasting. And Spotify's leading the charge, frankly. Their number one categories, comedy, society and culture, true crime, news, and health and fitness. I don't see technology on that list. So
there is no tech there.
No tech.
Well, Spotify's for more normal people,
right.
too.
It is.
We're happy.
Unlike us.
Yeah, no, in fact, there's a whole thread on our Twit forums, the Twit.com community, about are people who listen to Twit weird?
They're weird in a good way, though. The answer is in the best way.
Yeah.
I used to use Spotify for podcasting, listening to podcasts, but my friend Todd Moore He had that Passion app, PlayerPod, and I've been stuck on that ever since. But I get why people want to use Spotify. It's a nice app. It's straightforward, mm-hmm. and like she says, normal people can use it without an issue.
75% of UK marketers are looking to increase their spend in podcast advertising. It's a very hot category. This is an article from The Drum, which is a UK, I guess, a UK blog. Some analysts are saying that audiences react more negatively to ads on podcasts than other ad formats. I don't think that's true of our audience, but podcast ads have a net positive score of -9 globally versus +43 for magazine ads. Out of home
that's
ads.
That's probably because you can skip right past a magazine ad. You can't skip past, right. or you can, but.
TV ads, positive 32. Radio ads, positive 27. Podcasts, though do beat mobile display ads, negative 11, and mobile video, negative 13. This is from Kantar Ad Reaction. This is what they do. However, global head of media Kantar says podcasts are becoming increasingly embedded in consumer and business marketing due to the ease of hand-picking audiences and serving relevant and tonally appropriate content.
Tonally appropriate.
Tonally appropriate.
Oh,
have you ever heard that phrase referring to you?
I have.
Yes. Okay.
She's tonally appropriate. Spotify lets advertisers target podcast listeners directly. And that's the key, right? Samsung and 3M were among the first brands to test the tool. It has since made the targeting even more granular. And, oh, good news, Barack and Michelle Obama are on board to co-produce exclusive podcasts for Spotify because they're so good money. Apparently, they're spending a lot of money on that.
It's interesting to think about your post-presidential career.
Podcasting.
And how, well, I mean, the Netflix show, they're doing things that are not the traditional speaking to banks kind
Michelle
of thing.
Michelle Obama's autobiography is easily the top book of 2019, right?
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Really popular.
All right. I think we should break because Stacy is ready to have some more gin.
No.
No.
Wait. No, I had a story.
Oh.
But it's not a Google story.
I don't care.
It's okay.
Today, this is near and dear to my heart and any super nerdy tech people. Cisco finally said that they were going to sell a standalone networking chip that is not part of their gear. And I know that many of you guys are like, who cares? But as someone who's covered Cisco for like 2 decades, this is a huge deal for them. And it also shows how much power the disaggregation of the computing infrastructure that the hyperscale data center guys have really kind of made. So I just thought that was pretty cool.
Is there anything particularly interesting about the chip?
It probably offers a lot of networking speed. what's interesting is Cisco has never, like, disaggregation has never been Cisco's game, right? And they have done custom chips, but if you bought Cisco gear, you would get a custom chip, but that's the only way to get it. But now they're like, crap, Google's building their own switches, Facebook, Microsoft, everybody's doing it. We can't sell our boxes at a premium anymore. We might as well just give them the silicon.
Interesting.
So that's where they're going.
Interesting.
Okay, that's it. It's just super nerdy, and I love it because of...
Will it empower new ideas in internet routers?
Well, so no. So Cisco was kind of... It helped fund it, but it was a little behind the impact that software-defined networking was going to have on them. And that was the big sea change in networking in the last probably decade or two, which is the separation of the control plane from the data plane. And so when you think of this is about the internet as a whole and as in big data centers. This isn't for consumers except as we consume product from those companies.
Royal Knight in our chat room maybe puts this in perspective. He said this would be like Google licensing their search technology. Mm.
Thank you. Mm. Yes.
It's a big deal.
It is. It is a huge, big deal for Cisco.
It's their secret sauce and they're letting other people use it.
Yeah. And that's because again, covered them forever and they like had a lock on their gear and they were never going to take it apart. But today they took it apart.
Interesting.
Thank you, Royal Knight.
Thank you, Stacey Higginbotham. Let's take a break. Your tips and picks and numbers and all that stuff coming up. But I first have a tip for you. A better browser. It's Brave. Now, we were just talking about how Chrome is doing all these changes to Chrome. One of the beauty parts of all of this is that Chrome is an open source browser. It's based on the Chromium platform. And many of the features in Chrome go into Brave, but not all. Only the good stuff. Not the feature, for instance, that blocks uBlock Origin, my favorite ad blocker. Brave has built-in ad blocking, but Brave will work with all the Chrome extensions because it's based on Chromium. What I find is I don't have to install as many Chrome extensions because Brave does so much to protect my privacy and security just right out of the box. In fact, Brave is built by a team that's focused on both privacy and performance. Brave is a lot faster because you're not downloading all that weird JavaScript and the ads and all the weird stuff. It's up to 6 times faster than the competition. Unmatched speed, online privacy. Yes, of course, it blocks ads and trackers right out of the box. It's a better user experience, and it's free. And since every operating system, even Apple, allows you to have multiple browsers, download a copy of Brave. It's on iOS, it's on Android, Mac, Windows, even Linux, and try it. And I think you'll see it gives you all the benefits of Google's Chrome without all the googly bits, all this sending signals back. I'll give you an example. When you use a private browsing tab in Chrome, Google still sees what you're doing. It's just not saving cookies to your hardware. Right. With Brave, that private window has Tor. So no one sees what you're doing. Not Brave, not anybody. You're completely anonymized. That's really nice. Brave also has some wonderful features that Jeff will like because, of course, ad blocking does have one negative impact. It's great for you. It improves your security, lowers your battery usage, lowers your data usage, speeds up websites. But it takes money out of the mouths of some very deserving websites. Brave was trying to figure out how to do this, and they've created a way to reward publishers with their fair share of web revenue with BAT tokens, basic attention tokens. And the idea is you can either buy BAT with cash or you can opt into privacy-respecting Brave ads, and they're very non-intrusive. I've turned them on, and earn BAT. And then you can say to content creators, I'm going to award you with basic attention tokens, so that you can continue to do the great work you're doing. I think this is a great solution to help fix the web, improve privacy, and give publishers their due. It's just one more reason you'll want to definitely look into Brave. I am a huge fan. It's all I use now. Go to brave.com/twit. Now, I know you're smart. You can just go to Brave and download it. You could Google it and download it. But if you would, please go to brave.com/twit. That way they know you saw it here. We don't track you. We don't send Brave information about you. The only way they will know that you saw it on Twig is if you go to brave.com/twit, T-W-I-T. Yesterday was about big tech. Today is about us. Brave.com/twit. And that helps us when you use that URL. Helps us, frankly, continue to do privacy-respecting ads on our podcasts. And I love it that Brave is a sponsor. Thank you, Brave. Save battery life. Speed yourself up. No more trackers. They are really ahead of the curve. Brave.com/twit, my favorite browser. It should be yours too, but at least download it and try it. Best thing to do is go in the settings when you download it. The defaults are all fine, but if you go in the settings, you'll see how much more granular you can get.
Yeah, you can really geek out.
For instance, I hate it when websites pop up notifications saying, would you like me to notify you? I hate that. So you go into the content section of Brave's settings and say, No one should bother me with that.
When did that phenomenon start?
Oh, I don't know. It's terrible.
It's been driving
recently.
Me nuts. Yes. Yeah. Every single thing
Brave.
You see.
Just go in the settings. It's in the content section. It's a little bit buried. That's why maybe you didn't notice. It's in the content section. You can turn it off. And then and notice I don't ever get those problems.
Yeah, you don't have those problems.
I love it. Jeff, let's see. Where should we start? Yeah, Jeff, let's do a number. Jeff never gets to start.
I have a few. I think I'll do this one. This is a feel-good one. The first community of 3D printed homes at the bottom of the other section.
3D printed homes.
Alexis Ohanian, I saw this on Facebook because I'm on Facebook because I would find out fascinating things there. Because if you're on Facebook, you learn things about the world.
I just listened to Jeff Jarvis, and he's on Facebook.
And so Alexis Ohanian and Gina Sanders, who I knew from my days at Condé Nast, had a post up about this. And so the effort is to do in Mexico a community of people of homes.
If you go to the video. Look how cool this looks.
They're very nice homes.
But they look like they're 3D printed. I guess it's like a concrete printer.
But that's a shtick. Yeah, you make it.
It looks good.
And it looks nice, it right? Looks it's good. a place where Adobe's in the culture, you know?
Right.
What the
it
heck?
Looks like Adobe, yeah.
That's awesome.
Right.
I love it.
And it's for people who are making like $3 a day.
So they're less expensive.
We're living on less than $3 a day.
They're 3D printed. They're less expensive.
In 24 hours, the house goes up.
What? You don't have to frame it. You don't. Oh, that's awesome.
Right. Isn't it?
That's brilliant.
I would like to see this that isn't decorated by like Insta-worthy people.
I know.
But
I know.
Sure.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, you get to decorate it any way you want. It's your house. That's the point.
I'm not. I'm just kind of like, let's be real. They don't look like that.
No.
Well, they
no,
do.
I agree.
One or two does, but when you move into something like that and you're living on $3 a day,
it's right. Especially
you don't have a $20 throw pillow.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. But so if you don't decorate it, they look like concrete. They're made out of lava.
Yeah, they're
concrete.
That's pretty cool though.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
You get to
make it whatever you want. And why is Alexis involved in this?
So I don't know if it comes out of.
Is he donating to it or?
I would imagine. I just don't know. Right. I saw him on Facebook. He and Gina were there. That's all I know.
I just think he's a great guy. And the fact that he's married to Serena just helps. And he's a stay at home dad. I just love that. So nice.
Or a travel around the world dad is the
stay
case,
at home.
Maybe.
Well, stay in the hotel dad. Let's put
stay
it
in
that
the
way.
Hotel.
Stay in the hotel dad. That's awesome. Good.
I also like how he is now Alexis Ohanian Sr. because his daughter is Alexis.
Oh.
That so I didn't cool. know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So with 3D printing, according to Jason Ballard, who's co-founder of Icon, which is the company doing this, you not only have a continuous thermal envelope, high thermal mass, and near zero waste, you also have speed, a much broader design palette, next level resiliency, and the possibility of a quantum leap in affordability. This isn't 10% better. It's 10 times better. I want a 3D printed home. That is super cool.
Well, first I want to deal with the homeless problems in places like San Francisco where you get some land and deal with this.
Yeah.
Of course, this is for low density, but nonetheless.
Yeah, why? Because you got to bring in the...
Well, because you're not going to do a sky rise.
Yeah, you can't do a sky rise or a high
rise.
Oh, it's a skyscraper. So just
just
to put this in perspective, these are the before the homes were built. These are where these people in Tabasco, Mexico, were what they were living in. So, Stacy, I'm just going to point out
the decoration.
it ain't the decor. Right. It's just having a wall that's not made out of palm fronds or corrugated.
No, but Stacy's point was that it's all American dubbed.
Well, let me see. Let's see. I'm going. This is the. This is the assets provided in the press release here. Let's see the first 3D. Let's see some non-fixed up homes. I'm trying to find.
Are there any?
Not seeing anything in there.
Well, maybe they fix them up for you when they built them. I mean, you got to say I like how it looks like rope.
I mean, I'm not a fan of throw pillows myself. I think it's a.
No, I'm just saying that we're registering this, which is probably pretty spare and very small. I mean, it is small.
Yes. But you
we're
saw
registering
the shack
this as
that they
far
were living
cuter.
In.
I did.
Yeah.
And you know what? In 4 years or maybe three, this is going to look similar.
Right. Yeah. Really?
It's a different lifestyle.
It's concrete, baby. That ain't going nowhere.
It's concrete, yeah. This
I'm
is
not
better
saying
than
it's
a palm front.
But it'll be...
From an aesthetic standpoint.
I understand. Look, they got a professional decorator in, professional photographer. They painted the door blue. I don't like that shade of aqua. Could you try a little bit more aquamarine? Then it looks good.
Turquoise, please.
Release.
Turquoise.
But I still think it's cool. And I want one. Stacy, what do you got for us?
In addition to just bitter apples. Bitter apples.
No, you raise an important point, which is it's often the case. This is all dressed up, you know,
and Americanized.
Yeah, Americanized. But you know what?
Super, I mean, yes, it's good, but it's not real. That's not real. Anyway, let's talk about something real and expensive. And we're tomorrow and Friday, we will be releasing our IoT gift guide.
Oh, exciting.
It is exciting. It's IoT gifts that do not suck. But first off, this is what I gave Kevin actually this year, which is the Philips Hue Sync Box.
Aww.
Every year I give Kevin a present, make him write a review about it.
I'm using a Hue Hub. What does this do?
So this is the Hue Sync Box. It is expensive, but you plug that into an HDMI input. So any HDMI input, you use these lights and it turns your television. It does the light in conjunction with what's on your screen. So he did a thing of altered carbon that shows it at the bottom, a little video. And there it is. The light is basically wall becomes ambient. An extension of it.
Oh, that's wild.
It's ambient. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So this is a nice way if you have Hue products to bring this functionality in. So for him, I bought him the sync box for $229. Then he found a package of those two lights and a Philips Hue hub for $130. I think you can buy the two lights for $130. And if you don't have a Hue hub, you have to spend I think it's $60 for that. So this is not cheap, but it is he wanted it for Stadia gaming and for movies.
Wait
and
a minute,
he likes
you could do
it
with a game too?
Yeah, they have two products. So one is the Sync Box.
That would be neat.
Which is HDMI. And then they have a cheaper one that is for video gaming. And that is, what is that called? The Philips Hue Play. And that syncs with your computer.
Ah.
So.
I would, you know, I might use this in my man cave. It'd be kind of cool.
I think anybody who watches movies and again, it's kind of a splurge, but it's not a crazy splurge.
Yeah, he's using the Hue light bars
to
do the lighting. So that's you probably wouldn't want to do it with light bulbs.
You know, if you do the bulbs, so if you use the bars, or you could use the Go lights too that are on the bottom or anything to do splash up in the wall. But if you use the light bulbs, you basically get surround light. So instead of surround sound, you get the light happening behind you. And he says for things, he's like, I may do that for things like explosions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. It's, you know.
That's why it's a good gift. In my world, a gift is something you would never buy for yourself because it's that's extravagant.
So you could give some poor Mexican family a 3D built home, or you could give yourself the Play HDMI sync box.
I'm going to slide off camera now.
Touche.
Take your pick. I'm just teasing. This looks good. I actually want to buy this, but I'll also, just to make myself feel better, buy a 3D printed home.
Okay. Yeah, donate a house to someone.
I'll donate a house when I buy sink box. Maybe I'll put a sink box in the house. Along
I'm
with
sure they'll sell
in
the game as up. Fast as they
can. Stepping the game up.
Aunt Pruitt, what do you have for us today?
Mine is totally, totally random. This harkens back to traveling a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year. And the fire alarm went off in the hotel that I was staying in. And I decided to take that opportunity to go and shoot with it because, hey, I'm a photographer. I might as well go out and make the most of this time.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, this is the key if you're a photographer, constantly having that camera with you.
The camera was literally right next to the door in the hotel room. I grabbed it and I went out and shot while we waited around on the fire.
Did you have pants on?
And yes, I did.
Okay, good to hear.
And I went out and shot, and I figured I'd do this little video of a speed edit just to show people a part of my workflow, but also just share the story of, hey, you know, keep your camera around because you never know the opportunities that you'll have with photography, and sometimes you can get some pretty cool stuff. This one, all of my nerdy friends noticed that it said 404.
That was the number of the fire engine, as well as file not found, page
exactly.
not found. So that's cool.
But it's just a little walkthrough of just the speed edit of it.
This is where hands-on photo is so great. It's kind of how to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Ant's new show. This is not part of hands-on photo. This is on Ant's YouTube feed?
That's on my feed. There, nice. But I thought about that, and I was like, man, I remember waking up at 3:30 in the morning. And the thing is, this happened twice at this hotel.
Always have your camera. Always have your camera.
Couldn't
you
find out.
You never know when something's gonna happen.
That's right.
What is your YouTube channel?
YouTube.com/AntPruitt. I'm the only one.
Oh, wait a minute. Always have your camera and always
and
take off the lens
cap.
Okay.
Take off
the lens
cap. Okay.
Take off
I got
some very dark shots of you, and it's not going to work very well. Thank you, Ant.
Thank you, sir.
Our show appears on the network live every Wednesday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 21:30 UTC. If you want to watch live, you can watch Stacy punch me. We edit those out later. You can also get on-demand versions of the show at twit.tv/twig or subscribe in your favorite podcast application. You know, you could. I wouldn't even be hurt if you subscribed in Spotify. In fact, that would be a great thing to do.
Yep.
Whatever app you use, if you subscribe, then you get the show automatically the minute it's available. I think we can wrap this up. Ant, what are you doing this week on Hands-On?
Ooh, Hands-On Photography. I still have two things in mind, so I haven't decided on that one.
What
but,
was your last one on?
But
what was the existing one? Twit.tv/hop.
I can't remember what I did last week on hop because I did it early.
Oh, you did an early hop.
I had to do it early.
You
what was it
did,
I did
social media and cropping.
Oh, I critiqued someone. I critiqued someone's photos. That was part of it.
Fun.
But focus on photography. Please check that one out.
Yes.
That's going to be fun tomorrow. We have Lisa Carney joining us. She's an outstanding graphic designer. I will say it, if you go to Netflix and look at all of the thumbnails that you see that shows the different shows and movies, I'm pretty sure she's done most of those.
Oh, nice.
She's really good.
That will
she's
be a lot of fun.
Fun to talk to. So
I can't wait to see
tune
it.
In for that tomorrow. Yeah. Focus on photography.
Again, twit.tv/live if you want to watch what we're doing. And, of course, you can always go to twit.tv/hop. Or twit.tv/fop.
Yes.
To get Ant's latest shows. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time
on This Week in Google.